you want to just drag us back there, huh?
Okay, I don't have to.
I mean, let's go back. I'm ready.
I'll give you the Cliff Notes version here. Because Boise State, when they were playing ranked non-conference opponents, and they had a better body of work than UCF did, it still wasn't great. And they still played the card of, well, we can only beat the...
You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's high school football action tournament style from Danville, California. San Ramon Valley High School. It's the Northern California section, Les Schwab Tire Championship Series District 1 competition. Good evening, everyone. I'm Ira C. Smith, and boy, do we have a crew for you tonight. We have Ken Fry, former coach, former player, but now a very active person when it comes to selling cars and talking on the radio.
Well, Ira, it's great to be here, Ira. There's nothing like high school football playoffs. And, it's going to be an interesting game tonight, Ira. You know, the Crushers have been out of action because of the fires, along with other teams, for 3 weeks. San Ramon Valley was able to play a game last week. So let's give the edge to San Ramon Valley as far as sharpness, quickness, execution, as they had a game last week. But as we know, Coach Dylan Leach, he'll have these Crushers ready to go. And it's going to be a fun, exciting game. Both teams, power running games, power, power, power. Look for smash mouth football tonight.
And the guy that usually is running the sideline is Jacob Grant, and he's with us with his observations as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, and I got a second what Kent was saying about, you know, San Ramon definitely being a little bit more active as of late, you know, seeing that they just played last week. But I think it's going to be important for the Crushers to go out and knock some of that rust off. Go pop those pads a few times and get ready to play.
And Tino Alessio getting those pencils all sharpened up and ready to go.
Absolutely. I am very excited for this game. I've been excited for this game right after we went off the air with our high school basketball broadcast on Thursday. I was ready to kick this game off Thursday night at 9 o'clock, so I'm really ready to go now.
Tonight's game features the Vintage Crushers of Napa coming in with 10 wins in a row. They have a 10-2 record. They were 6-0 in this first year for the Vine Valley Athletic League. The host team tonight is actually the higher seed with a number 4 seed. Vintage is a number 8 seed in this Division I playoff matchup. The San Ramon Valley Wolves have a record of 7 wins and 4 losses. They were 2-2 in that very, very tough East Bay, the Mountain League. And they come in here as the home team getting set to see what they can do against the team from Napa, the Vintage Crushers. And our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. They're the ones throughout regular season, throughout tournament competition, are with us so that we can provide coverage for you back in the Napa area. And tonight, it's from a chilly Danville.
It is cold, Ira, but that makes it great football weather. You know, you want to be playing late in November, early December. That means you're in the playoffs. And so the cold, crisp air, that's just a welcome feeling for these football players.
And the two teams are out on the field now, loosening up, getting ready for the upcoming competition in this Division One play. Kind of interesting tonight, as well as there is also an open division competition tonight for a championship. Now, the game here is for just a semifinal matchup, and would have the team that wins tonight taking on a team tomorrow night for, or we should say next week, for the section championship. But, teams that are playing tonight include a couple pretty good high school football teams.
Yes, absolutely. The Crushers come in having won 10 in a row, and talking about the Open. Oh, the Open Division. Well, we've got Concord De La Salle probably has a game tonight, I imagine.
Against Liberty, they're both 11-0.
So that's a terrific matchup. I mean, De La Salle is always strong year after year, and it'll be interesting to see who wins that one. And so that one is actually for the championship in the Open Division. Is that correct?
That is correct. And Kent, it's so good that they have the Open Division, and that keeps these teams in Division One not playing De La Salle.
Absolutely. You know, you have Liberty and De La Salle, you know, and a couple other powerhouses there. That's why they're in the Open Division, and it gives the opportunity here for the San Ramon Valleys, the Monta Vistas, the Vintage Crushers, the Napa High football team, a chance to compete in the Division One.
Well, the first time for the Crushers to come onto the football field in the playoff competition since November the 9th. So that's quite a span of time there between games. The Crushers, for that game against Antioch, back before that, even brought up 20 players from the JV and varsity. And the Crushers picked up their first playoff win in some 33 years. And that was in the opening of the playoffs. They had been 0-8 since that last win. So now they have picked up two wins. And hopefully tonight we'll have a chance for number three. Led by their coach in his third year, a Vintage graduate of 1992, Dylan Leach.
And Dylan, you know, he grew up playing this game, Ira. He grew up, his dad, Bill, was a football coach, so Dylan has known football his whole life, and he's coached with some great coaches, and, you know, just a couple of them come to mind. You know, the old line coach who's listening, I know, via the internet, KVON.com, down in New Mexico, John Connor, of course, Les Frankel. There in Napa, I know that he's tuning in, and Dylan coached with these guys and played for him, and you know, he gets his roots from his dad and great coaches like the four mentioned, and he just loves this atmosphere. He just loves the game, he loves the kids, and he loves to teach.
And we'll be hearing from Dylan Leach when we come back. We're going to take a little time out now for messages from our sports boosters, after which we'll be back here at San Ramon Valley High School Football Stadium after these messages. Well, we're back here at San Ramon Valley High School in Danville, and we have a chance to hear from the football coach for the Vintage Crushers of Napa. Dylan took over from Kyle Hoffman, who had been the head coach for some 3 years. Prior to that, it was Dave Shipp for a couple years. But you remember, Kent, way back when a guy named Burl Autry started the program at Vintage High and was the head coach for some 14 years.
Yep, Burl was the original coach for the Vintage Crushers, and he had two great assistants with Les and Jim Franco, who ran the offense and the defense. And Burl was he was the perfect guy for the right time, Ira, to get that program started. And it only took Vintage 3 years, Ira, for them to be on the map. And that third year in existence is when they really came into their own in 1974 and established themselves as a contender and a very well-coached team and well-execution. And the players, and from that point on, they've just been a team to be reckoned with.
He's the eighth coach for the Vintage Crushers. He's Dylan Leach, and here are his comments about tonight.
It's going to be fun, right? I mean, we've been waiting since November 9th to play a football game, so it's probably feel like we're in college in a bowl game or something.
How did you prepare for all of this as far as getting everybody to adjust to the time factor?
Yeah, I think it's just there was a lot of other things on our minds. We had a lot of things going on in the community, obviously, so it wasn't that hard. These kids are just chomping at the bit, so it's just a matter of getting the opportunity to provide be successful, and that's what we're trying to do.
In the Antioch game, you had some injuries to some of your regulars. How does that look tonight?
Oh, it probably doesn't look well at all for those guys, so we'll be out with probably three of our main guys, but hey, it's the sign of the year and the time period we're in. Anytime you play in week 13, that's bound to happen.
How were you able to prepare for the game tonight?
We just do what we do. I mean, we don't change anything. Practice plans are set, and we follow them strictly, religiously, and we go minute by minute, and we've done that all year, and that's what we'll continue to do.
How did you feel the attitude players were on the way over here today?
Oh, the team's loose. I mean, I never bother them. They, you know, they're their own entity, man. These guys they're fun. They prank. They have a good time. I'm kind of the same way, so we've been actually pranking each other pretty good all week, so nothing's changed from who we are. This is just what we do, and we're looking forward to get out there and play a football game.
Did you bring JVs and freshmen into your practices?
Oh, yeah. We probably rolled seven freshman kids and about 12 to 15 JV kids. So, you know, we just think it's important for those guys to come out and see what we do. I think tonight two of the young kids will be in packages, so they'll get an opportunity to play.
What does it look like at the quarterback spot?
Troy Gislett is going to get the start, and then we'll, and I got all the faith in him. I've worked with him since he was over at Napa and I was there, and so I know how many reps he's gotten at you know, running our system and running my system, so I'm excited about him. I think Michael Weber will get some spots, get his time in, and then if we have to go and throw the ball on a regular basis, I think we'll probably go with Billy Birdsall.
Have a good game.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And those are the comments of Dylan Leach as he's getting his team prepared for tonight's kickoff in this Division I semifinal matchup. Aaron Becker is the coach for San Ramon Valley. This is his sixth year as the head coach. He took over from Mark Kessler, who had had some success, too, at San Ramon. This was the first year for their East Bay Mountain football, as they had Davis Sow in the league this year. And along with this team, the San Ramon Valley Wolves, they had Monta Vista, which San Ramon defeated in the final of the regular season, defeated last week to get to the semifinal. They had California, and they also were in the Division I playoffs. And, of course, De La Salle was in the open playoffs. And then the other team in the league, Foothill, the only team that didn't make the playoffs from that East Bay League. But last year, Kent, while this was a team or a league that had just a total of six teams in the league, looking at last year, they were in what was called the East Bay Football League, and they had a lot more teams in there. In addition to San Ramon Valley, they had Foothill, California, Amador Valley, Granada, Monta Vista, Dublin, Livermore, Doherty Valley. You notice an absence of De La Salle there.
Yeah, absolutely. Go from a lot of teams in one league 1 year, and then you know, to put De La Salle in your league. But what a tough league it has been there, Iowa, with California and you know, De La Salle, obviously, Monta Vista. But so you had De La Salle, like you said, in the open, San Ramon, Monta Vista, California, all in the playoffs.
We'll be back in a moment as there's going to be a presentation here of the national anthem. So we'll return here at De La Salle following these messages.
Thank you.
I would assume that this is parallel to 680, that we would have the north end of the field to our left and the south end of the field to our right. But sometimes when you get off the main highway and you follow the streets around, you get a little turned around.
Well, I think you're right, though, Ira. I think we are on the north to our left and the south to the right. And I know Jacob and I drove down together. And one of the things I noticed, this football field is you have to go through the campus and around, and it's quite a hike from the parking lot up to this football field. But it's a nice all-weather turf, all-purpose turf, and it should be fun. Should be a good footing out there tonight. Can't wait for this game to get started here.
You know, it looks like it could be a bit on the slippery side, though, with that artificial turf, as you alluded to, and having had the moisture that they have had the past few days.
We've had a lot of rain, especially last night, and it looks, you know, it's the way the lights hit the field and everything, but I expect these players to keep their balance and keep their footing, but we could see some, you know, loose feet out there, if you will, a few slips in there, but Iowa, with these two teams, this is going to be a power running game. I look for the ball to stay in between the tackles tonight. I really do. It's going to be smash mouth football right in between the tackles, and it's going to be the battle up front. Who's going to win the battle up front?
Well, Vintage is averaging 263.1 yards per game as far as rushing. San Ramon Valley is averaging 186.2 yards per game rushing.
Absolutely. So there you go. It just tells you, like, they like to put the ball on the ground. And, you know, there's some key injuries for both teams, Ira. They have key injuries, a couple defensive tackles out for tonight for Vintage along with their quarterback. San Ramon Valley is out with their star linebacker or running back who has a commitment to Stanford. But, you know, as both coaches will say, Ira, there's no excuse. It's next man up. Let's play football here.
Well, we're just about ready to do that. The Vintage Chrysler is located on the opposite side of the field from our broadcast vantage point, which is on the west side of the field. We're right behind the fans from San Ramon Valley, and their players are just right in front of us there. There is a track between the seating of the stadium and the actual football field.
Yep, there's a track, and, you know, it's just not quite like Memorial Stadium. We get so spoiled at our own stadium, but it's your typical football stadium with the track, you know, around the football field, and then you have the stands. So we are some distance away, but it's still a very nice setting.
Well, the captains have gone out to the center of the field. There are five officials working the game, as there are during the regular season. At least they have that in the Vine Valley Athletic League. And Dino is checking out now as far as the flip of the coin. But before that coin is actually tossed in the air by the referee, he is explaining some of the rules, talking about good sportsmanship, and asking them to play a good, clean game and to have a good time out here tonight. And we hope that wherever you're listening tonight, that you also will enjoy our broadcast. Just settle back, relax, and get set for some playoff football. This is the semifinals of Division One of the North Coast Section Les Schwab Tire Championship Series. The Vintage Chrysler is hoping to extend a 10-game winning streak going against the San Ramon Valley Wolves. And, Kent, maybe you could kind of describe some of the Wolves there. Football helmets look quite similar to the University of Michigan Wolverines.
It's exactly. It's the Michigan Wolverines, except wearing the Boston Celtics Kelly Green uniforms. And I like the, you know, it's like the Nevada Union Miners, their helmets that way. So, JC, if you're listening down in New Mexico, they don't have the Miner Burgers here, but the helmets are exactly the same, except in green and gold.
The Vintage Chrysler tonight will be in their white uniforms. They have the burgundy helmets and the burgundy numerals.
So San Ramon Valley won the toss, but they elected to defer to the second half. So the Vintage Crushers are going to be receiving the ball in the first half, and they're going to be defending the south goal, attacking the north goal. In other words, the Crushers will be moving from right to left on your radio dial in this first quarter.
And you're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. And we're streaming on the internet on KVON.com. Well, the Wolves actually have three guys that do the kicking. They have one guy, Sam Stevenson, who's teeing up the football now. He is a junior, and he usually kicks off. Then they have another guy named Jayden Benedict, who kicks the extra point. And then still another one that does punting for them. So they have, that's Jackson Forster. The Crushers getting set to see about a good return here to get this game underway. Crushers getting in position. The officials are still conferring near the center of the field. They'll have to get in their positions, of course, before the opening kickoff. And just checking for the Crushers as far as getting a chance for a good return to get this game underway. Now the officials are actually running to their respective positions and having teed up the football. Sam Stevenson walks back, goes behind his 35-yard line. The fans are standing. The Crushers await the kickoff. The approach as the kicker just hears the whistle blow now, and so here's his approach. and his left-footed kick sails way down there, taken inside the 5-yard line at about the 2-yard line, brought up the middle of the 20, 25, 30, 35, going to the right side, now the 40, he's out to midfield, down the sideline, the 45, the 40, avoids a tackle there, goes to his left, gets inside the 40, down to the 37-yard line for the Crushers. It was Mauricio Castro on the return and brought it down some 60 yards.
Nice, great return, Ira. They had a return middle set up, and the wedge was just perfect. Just the parting of the Red Sea, it really was, and Castro was just a bullet getting through there. Nice return. That gives the Crushers good field advantage here on the 37.
So they are in the Wolf territory right away after the opening kickoff. Look who's coming wide left. Shamkel is out wide to the left. First time I think I've seen him so far out. He gets a pass pass to him, and then I think he dropped it, or he went down anyway and tried to hold on to the ball. Let's see if they rule that a completion or not.
No, I think they're just going second down. They're just trying to run a little flanker screen to Shamkel there. Just something a little different look than what the Crushers have shown so far.
I don't remember that play earlier in the season. So the Crushers getting set now with a second down and 10. They're at the 37-yard line of the Wolves and have wideouts to the right side, and they have two setbacks, and the pitch goes to Castro. Castro on the jet sweep is driven out of bounds after he gets just a couple yards on the far side of the field and forced out of bounds by the defense. Did a nice job being led in there by Ryan Chambers. No gain on the play. It'll be third down and 10 to go. Do you think they'll pass?
I think they might, Ira, you know, or may stick with the run game here. But I just kind of question those first two plays. I don't mean maybe backseat quarterback, but they were wide. I expect him to run and be between the tackles.
Logan Barrett out wide to the left side. There's the fake, and the pass is complete to he's got a first down inside the 25 as Shamko is hit as he gets to the 24, and he falls down to about the 21-yard line. Oh, a good second effort there after the tackle was made and a pickup of 16 yards by Shamko, who is about a 200-pounder, about 5'9", and a senior. His brother, who's a freshman, is with the squad tonight as well.
It was a nice little play, Ira. Just a little play action, a little cross action in the backfield, and they snuck him out. Great little play action pass, sneaking him out of the backfield.
From the 21-yard line, wide out to the right. The play goes to the right. On the option, the quarterback is hit, and he's going to be dropped for a sack. Troy Gisletta, no place to go on that play, and he will actually lose some yardage on the sack. They're marking it worth just a loss of a yard. Starting onto the field now is Drew Hatfield. He will come in as, they use him as a slot usually. Also coming onto the field is Josh Robert, very versatile performer. Staying on the field in the backfield is Mauricio Castro, Mo Castro, as they call him. Now he's going to go, and he goes out wide to the right side. And the quarterback keeps the ball inside the 20, and it is Gisletta then to about the 17-yard line where he is spilled.
Another big third down play coming up here, Ira. You know, the difference between Jacob Aaron and Troy Gisletta running the option is Jacob Aaron does a much better job at attacking the line of scrimmage. Gisletta needs to attack that line of scrimmage on a steeper angle. He's running it too wide, and that allows the defense to come up and make the play.
Logan Barrett stays out there, and Drew Hatfield will stay there in the backfield. And also in that backfield will be Shamkel. Now sending out wide to the right side goes Barrett. He's very wide out there. A single setback in Shamkel, and now they have illegal motion. And was there a timeout there? Yeah, the Crushers called a timeout first. So that is the first timeout spent here in the opening quarter of play. Crushers taking the ball, and after a good return from the kickoff, getting down there in the red zone.
Ira, it's going to be a big third down here. It's third and a long seven, and see what Coach Leach comes up. He definitely saw something either in the San
Romo Valley defense or something he didn't like with the offense. That's the way they were lining up. Called the timeout, and now they're going to talk about this play here.
And that is what they're doing as we have the Vinny's crowd on the far side getting some excitement going here in the early going with the performance of their team thus far. We'll see if they can sustain it. And it's really encouraging to see the Vintage, the bleachers on the Vintage side are nearly full at this point.
Yeah, both sides are full. Both sides are real excited about this game, and a lot of loud noise from both sides. It's great.
Great atmosphere for a playoff football game, this semifinal. Chrysler's come up. Two wideouts to the right. Now one of those who is sliding goes in motion, and Gisletta on the option pitches to Hatfield. He swings out on the sweep. He gets inside the 15, down to the 10. He got the first down. There is a flag that comes out. Looked like it may have been hitting him out of bounds.
Now I think they're going to call a hold on Vintage. The wideout out there was holding. You can see it from here, Ira. This is going to go against Vintage here.
Oh, that's too bad as they had picked up that first down inside the 10-yard line. I think he got all the way down to the 7-yard line, but the penalty is against the Chrysler's. And that will take the ball back outside the 20-yard line, out to about the 22-yard line. But it was the option play that worked well.
Yeah, it was a nice little wrinkle to the option where they motioned the right back to the left side, went with a 34 option, and then fake it to the fullback, and the tailback who went in motion actually came back and became the pitch man. So it was a nice little twist to the option.
It'll be third down and make it 12 yards to go. No score in the first quarter. 9.5 minutes to go. Double wides to the left, two in the backfield. And Gisletta, he's going to run. He fires, and it's complete to Shamko, the 20, the 15, and he's bounced out of bounds at about the 13. And he was lucky to pick up any yards, because that was a broken play.
Well, it was a broken play because everybody was going left and Gisletta went right. That was on the quarterback there, Ira. He just forgot which way the play was supposed to go. So a good pickup, though. Let's see if they're going to kick a field goal or go for it here.
Well, it was a field goal that won the game over at Antioch. The kickers are fairly even for the two.
It looks like they're going to bring in their jumbo offense. They're going to have a lineman in the backfield. Looks like they're going to go for it here, Ira.
They need 3 yards for the first down. It's fourth down. The ball is on the 14-yard line, putting man in motion. Now he is set. Now he goes back into motion again. Shampoo gets a direct snap. He's inside the 10. He is battling for the first down, and he has it.
Great play. That's that jumbo formation. They put a lineman, two linemen in the backfield. They motion one over. This time went from left to right. Shomko takes the snap in a wildcat formation, just runs behind those two big linemen. Great job up front, pushing them, getting the first down.
First down and goal to go for the Vintage Crushers. The ball is at the 8-yard line, about midway between the hash marks there on either side of the field. As they come up with the quarterback, is under center, just let him. He hands the ball off, and they go no place there. The handoff went to Zukovic, and Zukovic was hit right away and may have lost a yard.
It's just a battle up front, Ira. There's some big boys out there. It's like I said earlier, this is going to be the team that wins the battle up front. It's smash-mouth football, and this is exactly what we're seeing here tonight.
Schimkel, who was not in on the last play, has come back into the huddle. Also, Jesus Galvin has joined him in that huddle. As the Crushers look at a second down and goal to go, they're at the 9-yard line, and the quarterback hands it off. No, pitches out on the option to Castro, spins away from one, hit by another, and tries to lunge forward, and he's going to be shy of the goal line, but not by more than a couple of yards.
Right in the outside option again. Gisletta did a much better job that time, riding Shomko, pulled the ball to late at the very last moment, and then pitched the ball to Maurice Castro, who did a really nice job, Ira, getting down to within the 2-yard line.
Third and goal to go from the 2 for the Vintage Crushers as they come up to the line. Avalos is over on the left side in the backfield. He goes in motion. Shamko takes the direct snap, and he is swarmed upon. They read that play and drop him for a 2-yard loss.
Well, Ira, what...
what really broke that play up, and the snap was very high, and it just throws off the timing. I've noticed this with vintage. Their snaps have been a little errant at times. They're either high or wide, and it just throws the timing off of that split second. Exactly what happened. They took a two-yard loss.
So it's fourth down. Let's see if the Chrysler's going to go for it, if they're going to kick this time. It's fourth and goal to go from 4 yards, the 4 yard line. Looks like they're going to kick. So this would be about a 22 yard field goal attempt as the kicker Eddie Gonzalez made a 40 yarder to win the game last time. And there the kick is on the way, and it is through the uprights. And the Crushers are on the scoreboard with just inside of 7 minutes to go here in the first quarter. The score, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 3, San Ramon Valley Wolves 0. We'll be back with the Crusher kickoff right after this. Well, the Crushers took 10 plays, go 32 yards in just 5 minutes and 7 seconds to get on the scoreboard with that 22-yard field goal. And now Eddie Gonzalez getting set to kick off. Here is his approach, and the ball sails way down into the end zone and out of the end zone for a touchback out to the 20-yard line. That, by the way, was his third field goal of the season against Antioch. He made a 40-yarder that won the game in point after touchdowns. As far as his PAT, he is 42 out of 45, while Jaden Benedict for San Ramon is 38 out of 39. In extra points, and he has 3 field goals. The longest is 41. So the two kickers are quite comparable, and we'll see the first play from scrimmage from the 20-yard line. Kamisa is the quarterback. Brandon Kamisa, he's a senior, and he works under center. He has 2 wideouts to the left. The pass goes out to the left side. They try to run it there down the line, and they're brought down after just a very short game.
Well, that time Sam Ramon came out, lined up running back, just ran a quick little flanker screen out there, and Vintage was all over it. Just a 1 yard pickup, as you alluded to.
Well, they have Brandon Kamisa coming back in.
Ira, do we know who caught the ball on that play?
It was on the far side. That was blocked up. 18. That was just Dossi. There is the fake handoff to the first guy. The give is to the second guy. That's Hyman or Hyman. And Hyman gets out to the 39-yard line before he's brought down. He picks up a first down there, still in Wolves territory. 3-0 to score. Vintage has the lead. We're at the 6-minute mark here in the first quarter. A 13-yard pickup on that play, getting the ball out. It's actually spotted back at the 34-yard line, and they send out wide left Gazassi, who made that catch earlier. He's out wide as a single on the left side. Handoff in the backfield and getting about a couple of yards before the Crushers really piled up and brought him down with the handoff to Hyman.
Yeah, Hyman, they're just running a little counterplay with Hyman that time, and big Colton Fisher. Big defensive tackle for the Vintage Crushers. They play as like a 3-5, Ira. Sometimes it's a 3-4, but basically it's a 3 down lineman, 5 backers. It's a really unique defense the way the Crushers play this.
Didasi again goes out wide to the left side. They had a wing on the right side who goes in motion. And the give again is to Hyman, and Hyman is stacked up. There's a flag on the play, though, as Hyman gets out to the 38-yard line. They have to get to the 44-yard line for a first down. That's going to be a hold against the Wolves. Let's see if the Crushers, they are accepting the 10-yard penalty.
That was, again, another holding on this time. It was the wideout for the Monta Vista. So both teams guilty of their wideouts holding here.
So we have the Crushers on defense now, and the Wolves come up to the line of scrimmage, single wide to the right, tight end on the left, The fake handoff, play action, quarterback rolls out, fires. It is complete at the 30-yard line, down to the 35, and then down. Could be considerably shy of a first down. Good reception in there by number 87, who is not on our roster. And we have the updated roster from them, too, and that is J.P. Murphy there on the corrected roster that we have.
Yeah, J.P. Murphy for the San Ramon Valley. I think I said Monta Vista last time, but San Ramon Valley came out from the left tight end, ran a drag cross, a little play action. So good job by San Ramon that time.
Justin Kamara goes out wide left. They had 13-yard pickup. Play action again. There is the pass, and it sails out of bounds. That was on third down. So it'll be interesting now from the 38-yard line if they're going to punt. Their punter is Jackson Forster, who is a senior. As they say, they have three kickers on the team, and they spread the duties. This is Forster. Vintage is leading 3-0, 4:41 to go. We're in the first quarter of the ball game, and dropping back for the Crushers, Mauricio Castro. Boy, they get a good right, but he gets a good kick away. High one. Castro, he fields it at the 15-yard line, gives some ground, now makes a cutback, and he is brought down at about still about the 15. So he tried to find an opening there, made a little cutback, and when he lunged forward again, he was tackled there just at about the 15-yard line. So that's where the Vintage offense will be taking over, some 85 yards away. They lead it 3-0 here with 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, as we have the Crushers starting quarterback, Troy Gisletta, a 5'9 senior, the quarterback during the season, a errant out with a collarbone injury. Shamko can't handle the ball, and it's picked up by Castro, turns the corner on the right side, and now changes direction, goes back to his left, and he's going to lose a bunch of yards there. Not sure exactly what happened. They had a direct snap there to Lamy Shamko, and he just didn't hold it.
The ball was a little too wide, but still a very catchable snap there, Ira. That's just a big, big, almost a turnover, but now they're really pinned deep down there in their 5-yard line, 6-yard line.
So it's going to be a loss of 9 yards on that play for the Crushers. So they're coming up now, second and long. They have to get out to the 25-yard line for a first down. They have it back at the 19-yard line. And they get the Shamko call that he's stripped as he starts to go right up the middle and lunges for about a couple yards. But that was it. He just didn't have his footing there.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, Ira. I think it's just good old tough defense and everything else. It's just Vinny just kind of pinned themselves back in their own hole here with that missed snap.
Well, this big play coming up, needing about 20 yards now for a first down. They have it third down, and they're back there at the 7-yard line. The quarterback keeps the ball. He gets outside, out to about the 15. They handed that off there at the last moment. It was Weber who carried. So Michael Weber on his first carry gets him back out to about the 15-yard line, pick up a 7 yards on the play, but it's fourth down, and the Crushers will have to punt the ball away. And boy, it's just getting set back there. See which one they have back to punt. It's not a good punt at all. Very bad punt off of the side of the foot. And that was Camus Barrett. And that punt went about 10 yards, making 11 yards.
Well, Ira, this is the difference between the two teams. San Ramon Valley's got an excellent special teams and kickers and punters. And when they punted the ball a good 50, 60 yards there, pinned Vintage deep. And now Vintage has only got a net 10-yard punt here. So San Ramon, an excellent field position here.
Well, they take over. The ball is at the 26-yard line of Vintage. Excellent field position. They have double wides to the right side. tight end on the left side, and a gun formation, and they hand off, try to run up the middle, try to work it out off of the right tackle spot with the ball carried by Jacob Hyman. He's just a junior.
Yeah, Zach Daniels in there in the stop. You got Zach Daniels and Colton Fisher playing the two defensive tackles. They're just a bunch of studs in there for Vintage. That's what's going to keep them in this game.
Pick up of 1 yard on that last play. So it's going to be second down and 9 to go from the Vintage 25-yard line. The quarterback, Brandon Kamisha, gets the play from the sideline. And he sends Gadasi out wide to the right, a tight end over on the left side, 3 setbacks. And a handoff goes to the tailback. He is brought down inside the 20-yard line. They have to get down to the 17-yard line for a first down. It's going to be a couple yards shy of that, but they've got 2 more down.
Yeah, it's a 3rd and short here. I expect San Ramon to make 2 plays here for a first down with only 1 yard to go.
So the Vintage Crusher defense needing to dig in now. 3rd down and a couple yards to go for the Wolves. Making a few changes there as they huddle up back near the 25. Now they break from the huddle. Tight end over on the left side. A wing on the right side. I formation backfield. The fullback carry picks up a first down as Kobe Davis gets the carry for the first time tonight and picks up a first down. And that was about a 7-yard gain. Those are precious yards when you're getting in the red zone, and they get the ball down just outside the 10-yard line, call it the 11-yard line. So it's conceivable they could pick up a first down without getting into the end zone. Quarterback, it fires it towards the end zone, and it's out of everyone's reach. That'll make it 2nd down. It's not goal to go, but it's pretty close to that, just outside of the 10-yard line. The quarterback, Brandon Kamisha, was just a bit high.
Yeah, high and outside, if you will, there, Ira. So I don't know why. They've got a good running game going. I'm kind of surprised they put it up in the air here from the 11-yard line.
Yeah, as far as on the season, they average 111.7 yards per pass and reception. From the I formation, quarterback fakes to the fullback, gives to the tailback, and he's going to lose yardage. Oh, what a good stick in there. Coming in heavy and hard was Colton Fisher. Boy, did he do a good job off of that run.
Colton Fisher and Jacob Bittner was coming in on a blitz as well from his linebacker spot. So here it is, 3rd and 11.
Loss of 1 yard there. So that's the end of the first quarter. It will end here. It's got 5 seconds to go. They'll not get enough play underway. So we're at the end of 1 quarter here at San Ramon Valley High School football field for this North Coast Section Les Schwab Tire Championship Series game. And the score is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 3, the San Ramon Valley Wolves 0. Back after this. All right, we'll see what the Crusher's defense could do now on this important 3rd down play coming up. As they shift to the opposite end now, the Crusher's defending that north goal. And it's going to be 3rd down and about 11 yards to go here as we start the second quarter. Under center is Kamisha. He drops back to pass, getting right, sets a screen. The pass is complete to Turner. Turner inside the 5. He goes into the end zone. Touchdown as Griffin Turner goes 12 yards and gets the score to put the Wolves ahead here as we just start the second quarter of the game. Little bubble screen.
Actually, just a little back screen there, Ira, but what set it up is this play action fading to the right, and then the quarterback set and came back to the left, and he was all alone out there. Nice play call right at the right time.
Okay, we have the extra point attempt coming now. The extra point guy is Jaden Benedict. they mentioned, he is 38 out of 39. The low snap, he gets the ball down, and his point, though, is good. He still was able to kick it through the uprights. Wow. So it's a 7-3 score now as the Crushers are behind. Let's see what can happen now on the kickoff. They can get a good return. That touchdown gives the Wolves the lead. I was just going to see what Turner has done as far as other receptions this year. He had, let's see, Turner, I can't find him as far as having had receptions, but certainly looked good on that. Now, that was his first reception. They go 26 yards in 6 plays, 2 minutes and 20 seconds to take the lead. Now gets set to kick off. So that extra point was by Jayden Benedict, but kicking off is Sam Stevenson. Teeing up the ball at the 40-yard line. It's a 7-3 score now as we're just underway in the second quarter. And here comes Stevenson's approach to the football. His left-footed kick soars way down, and it's taken at the 1-yard line by the Crushers. Starting up the middle is Castro. He gets out to about the 20-yard line. So Castro, again on the return, on the earlier kickoff, he returned it some 60 yards. And on this one, he gets it back to the 20 anyway.
Well, I want to see what the Vintage Crushers can respond here now. They need to get a good sustained drive going, feed the ball to Shomko, run up in between the tackles, get that power jumbo game going, and get some good rhythm.
Well, that bad punt was one of the things that set that up, a 10-yard punt when you were back deep in your own territory. Just let it, he did not get the snap. Instead, it went directly to Weber, and Weber tried to run it off of his left tackle and was brought down right at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, we're going to see Weber at quarterback. We're going to see Gisletta at quarterback. You know, Coach Leach likes to mix it up. We'll see Shomko taking direct snaps as well. This time now, Gisletta's back in at quarterback.
Cutter Lowe coming out wide to the right side. So Gisletta has a single setback, plus he puts a man in motion, and then there is a whistle as Jacob Bittner started in motion. It's going to be an illegal false start against the Crushers. That'll be a 5-yard penalty, taking the ball back to the 15-yard line. Well, that's what you want to stay away from, is turnovers and penalties in the competition when it gets tough like this in the playoffs.
You can't afford that, Ira, especially this late stage in the season like this. The execution has to be crisp and sharp.
Gisletta from the gun, gets the snap, rolls out, keeps the ball, and it is dropped for a 1-yard loss as he tried to turn the corner and get back up there, but it was brought down at the 14-yard line.
And no excuse there, Ira. We're just talking about execution. Gisletta had 2 blockers out in front, and both blockers just let the tackler come in and make the play, uncalled for.
So it's 3rd down and about 16 yards to go for the Crushers. They have to get out to the 30-yard line for a first down. They have the ball back inside the 15 at about the 14-yard line.
Got Jacob Aaron at quarterback.
He's back to pass. He looks, he rolls out of the pocket, being rushed, he fires, it's complete to Castro. Castro gets to the 20, he's hit from behind, it falls forward to the 22. He's about 8 yards shy of a first down, but that was interesting that we did see Jacob Aaron in there at quarterback.
Yeah, you know, because he suffered a minor collarbone fracture 3 weeks ago, and here he is coming in and throwing a ball for a completion on his first attempt.
Well, the Crushers are going to punt the ball away now as they have, Gonzalez is back here to, or is that Bittner? Let's see. Gonzalez, yeah. He gets the punt away. It's a better punt than previous, and it bounces at the, goes inside the 30. There's a scramble, and the Crushers recover down at the 28-yard line. The Wolf that was going to take the kick muffed the ball, and Hatfield got down there and was able to recover the ball and the big break for the Chrysers.
Absolutely, Ira, and that's the break they need. You got to have that. This time Coach Leach put Eddie Gonzalez back in there to punt, and boy, did he boom one out there. And the Wolves receiver tried to make an over-the-shoulder catch and muff the punt, like you said, and then Hatfield was right on it.
Well, he had a 48-yard punt, and the Chrysers are in good field position now at the 28-yard line of the Wolves. And the quarterback keeps the ball, and that's Weber. Weber gets inside the 20-yard line and is close to gets stopped just before the 20. Yeah, well, he picked up the first down. They spot that ball at the 19, and that's what they're doing. It's just a yard shy. Came pretty close there, but where they're spotting it, it's going to be a yard shy of a first down. But that was on a first down play, so it's going to be second down and a yard to go as the Chrysers. The quarterback keeps the ball, and he's going to lose some yardage there. That was Michael Weber again. Weber is very versatile.
Yeah, Weber's a great athlete, a lot of speed, very versatile, plays DB, wide receiver, quarterback, running back. And, that time, the first play they ran a option, 35 option to the tight end side. This time they ran the same play to the right and actually lost a half yard. So here are a big play here, Ira, third and a long one.
So the Chrysers coming up to that line, they have two in the backfield, including Sikovic. And it's going to be Shomko that tries to carry the ball, but he's going to be hit right away. Boy, are they keying on Shomko.
Well, Ira, the snap was high and wide. It just throws the timing off. The snap is very poor right now, I'm telling you.
And that's very uncommon for Jack O'Dell, who is in his second year as the snapper there at 5'8", 234 pounds. Very good football player, though.
Now you got to get the snap there every time. You know, all your good centers will tell you that. It should be hitting that guy right in the chest if they're in the pistol or the shotgun. This was high and wide. Shomko had a leap for that ball.
So it's going to be a fourth down now. Shomko is in the backfield along with Sikovic. And another high snap. And Shomko's going to have to fall on it. Doesn't matter. That was a fourth down. It doesn't matter who came out with the football. But it happened to be the Wolves' Deuce Palmer that was able to cover up the football. But the Chrysers would have turned it over on downs. On that one was even higher.
Ira, I've been saying it all night. The snap is not there.
That's such an important part of the offense being in sync.
Absolutely, and it just throws the timing off and everything. And see if Coach Hall over there talks to his center, Jack O'Dell, because they got to get their act together here, keep that timing sharp. It just throws everything off pace.
So the Wolves take over. They lead it 7-3 now with 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And their quarterback, Kamisa, is under center with the I formation behind him. Gets to his tailback off the right side as Hyman is out to the 35-yard line. They need to reach the 39-yard line for a first down. So he picked up some tough yardage there to get to the 35, needing four more yards for a first down.
Yeah, just a big gain of 6 yards there. They're just running ISO. They're just running a lead blocker on the wide side, Ira. They just set backs left, and they run the fullback up, leading on the outside backer. They're just running wide ISOs, 34 ISO, 35 ISO, or 44 and 45 ISO is what they're running.
Gadasi comes out wide to the left side. They have a slot on the left side, tight end on the right side, high formation backfield, and the quarterback picks the handoff, gives to the tailback, and he's going to be stopped after a short gain. He got maybe a yard on that play just to try to angle off of his tackle over there. And coming in with a nice hit was Luis Arroyo for the Chrysers.
Yeah, Arroyo, you know, along with Daniels and Colton Fisher, there's your three big stud linemen right there, Ira. That's the core of the Vintage defense, those three guys right there. They do an excellent job.
So it's third down. This could be a possession down as they're in their own territory at the 35. Let's see how the defense for the Chrysers respond. The give us to the tailback. He's brought down for no gain and maybe even a loss. What a great job in there. And that time, it looked to be Zach Daniels had the lead tackle.
Yeah, absolutely, with the support from the linebackers there. Again, Ira, this is smash-mouth football. Both teams just battling it out up front. This time, Vintage Crushers win the battle, forcing a big punt here by San Ramon.
So dropping back inside of the 25-yard line goes Mo Castro. There's the boot. It bounds, kicks back to the 20-yard line. Castro just backs away from it as green jerseys are quickly there to surround it. So it got a good roll and goes 46 yards with no return on that punt. So at the 19-yard line, that's where Vinny's will take over, trailing it 7-3 here, inside of 5.5 minutes to go. We're in the second quarter. Pressures had a 22-yard field goal, and then the Wolves came up with a touchdown and added the extra point. Vinny's just had some personnel situations there. They had to rush the 11th player on there quickly. And now he's going to split out wide to the left side. And the Crushers need to get set. And gets let a hands off and no gain. In fact, probably a loss on that play as Drew Hatfield took the handoff.
Yeah, Hatfield was trying to run behind the big left guard. He was pulling out, running a little counter with just a one guard pull and nowhere to go. San Ramon all over it.
So a loss of a yard. Second down, 11 yards to go. 5 minutes to go here in the first half. 7-3 is the score. The Wolves have the lead. The Crushers have the football. And have Odell there at center. Gisletta is the quarterback. One wide out to the left. Gisletta hands off to Hatfield. He breaks through this time to 20, 25, 30. He gets out to the 40-yard line, and he is tackled from behind as coming up and closing was Sam Stevenson after a 22-yard gain by Hatfield.
Yeah, that was a nice play. 43 cross, just the backer cross, and that was a really nice hole there. The lineman opened up, and Hatfield was through it. Nice gain.
4.5 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Crushers still in their own territory at the 39-yard line. Sending Cutter Lowe out wide to the right, wing to the left. They'll have the quarterback keep the ball. Gisletta gets to the 45-yard line. They need the 49-yard line for a first down.
Much better play there by Gisletta on the option, running outside option again. Pick up the 5 yards. Take that every time, Ira.
Second down, 5 yards to go, exactly 4 minutes remaining in the first half. And number four is quarterbacking the team now, Troy Gisletta, 5'9", 145-pound senior. Has Shamko behind him. He gives the ball to Shamko. He is hit right away. And all you can say is that the films must have shown that Shamko carries quite a bit because the defense reads where Shamko is lining up and the shift around so that they can handle Shamko if he is the ball carrier, and that time he got 1 yard, making it a third down and 4 yards to go for a first down as we're inside, well, actually putting it outside the 45 now, about the 46-yard line. Third down for the Crushers, a gun formation now. And the quarterback keeps the ball. He cuts in, gets a first down. He's in the Wolves territory and then is dropped by Jared Kinney, a defensive back that came over to make the tackle at about the 46-yard line.
Nice play there, Ira. That was a nice play design. Strong right formation there, and they ran back to the weak side option there. And Gisletta kept the ball and did a good job picking up the first down.
Out wide left this time, Logan Barrett. Still the I formation this time. And the ball is carried right up the middle. And they get out to inside the 40-yard line as it was Sokovic who just grabbed hold of the ball and just went with some power.
Yeah, this time they ran inside option to the left, 31 option. And Sokovic did a really nice job picking up tough yards there.
Picked up 8 yards on the play. The Crushers taking a timeout. They have 2 timeouts remaining here in the first half. There was the whistle blown, and the official went over to the sideline. I'm not sure what the referee is giving, no signal, just indicating to start the clock. 2:15 and counting, 7-3. The Crushers trail. They're starting to move the ball now in Wolves territory, and it's Shomko as he angles off of his right tackle and gets inside the 35-yard line and has that first down for Vintage. So they get a new set of downs now.
Yeah, they're just running the quick power game, up-tempo, coming up to the line of scrimmage very quickly with 2 minutes here. They need to keep the ball moving.
Colton Fisher goes out of the lineup now. He goes over to the sideline inside of 2 minutes to go here in the second quarter. 7-3 the score. The Wolves ahead. The Crushers with the ball. Gisletta on the option gives it over to Hatfield, and Hatfield, as he tried to sweep, is brought down just shy of. And then there are a couple late flags that came out.
I'm not too sure who this is going to be on. If someone said something or someone took a late hit.
It looks like it's going to be against the Crushers, judging from the coaches' staff. I look at them to see if they agree or if they do not agree, and they did not look like they agreed. A personal foul called against the Crushers.
That's just a big penalty against Crushers because they had the momentum. They are moving. Now that's a big 15-yarder marched off against them.
Yeah, that'll take the ball way back to the 43-yard line. And we have a minute and a half to go here in the second quarter. So that'll change some of the calls. The Crushers need to get down to the 29-yard, or make it the 24-yard line for a first down. And they have it back at the 43-yard line. So they have trips out to the right side. And they'll run the ball to the right side. And then banged out of bounds is Michael Weber as he tried to turn the corner on the sweep. They heavily loaded that right side.
Yeah, they're just trying to run a jet sweep. They had three receivers bunched out here to the right. Weber, the lone receiver on the left, coming on the motion, just a handoff to Weber. Pick up about 5 yards there, Ira, but now it's going to be 3rd and 15.
And the Crushers, I think, have taken a timeout now to spend the second of their three first-half timeouts. A minute 24 to go here in this, the first half of play. Crushers got on the scoreboard first on a 22-yard field goal. Then the Wolves took advantage of a very bad finished punt to get excellent field position and eventually scored a touchdown and added the extra point. So that's where we are right now, 7-3, as we near halftime.
If Vince can get down to the 20, you know, you can get in Gonzalez's range here, Ira. Put 3 points on the board, you know, get down to the 20, the 15, put 3 points on the board before the half ends, and, you know, that's like a victory going in at half.
Well, at halftime, we'll check with Dino Alessio as he will come forth with his statistics, and not a whole lot happening here yet as far as the way it started out with Castro returning that opening kickoff and setting a good scene for the Crushers. They did not capitalize on that, however. Okay, we have at the quarterback now is Weber. No, Weber's going in motion. Aaron back there at quarterback. Here's a pass down to Weber, and it is nearly intercepted. Wow. Well, that is 10, and that shows the name on the roster is Birdsall. But
now that's Jacob Aaron.
Oh, but we must have some changes numbers to get. That happened last time, too, on particularly on Colton Fisher.
Yeah, Colton Fisher's wearing 18 tonight. Finney's going to be forced to punt. They need to get a good punt here. Gonzalez is in there with the punting team.
Eddie Gonzalez did not punt the first time. Did the second time and did a really nice job. So we have just over a minute to go here in the first half. Gonzalez gets the punt away. It's a good one. Heading down towards the 5-yard line, and the Crushers stop it at the 1-yard line. What a great coverage there by Vintage as Bo Castro used his speed to get down there and cover that punt and keep it out of the end zone.
Absolutely, Ira, and that's what you need. You need to pin the San Ramon Wolves deep in their territory.
37 yards. All he could have gotten, the maximum of that, was 38. It would have gone into the end zone. That doesn't count on the distance of the punt, but he got 37 yards, which is just right. So the Wolves get the ball 99 yards away from the goal line. They're right there at the south goal line right now. In fact, they'll probably take the snap in the territory, the handoff, try to go up the middle, and it stopped right there at the line of scrimmage. Nothing happening as the handoff went to Kobe Davis, who is a senior, and Davis got to, I think they're putting it down maybe for a yard gain. And the Wolves just don't want to risk giving a safety, having Vintage get a safety.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're taking this time, getting this play off. They may even take it. I don't know. I doubt they take a penalty or they'll burn a timeout, one of the two. They just want to put the ball up to the five-yard line here. That's their goal.
Yeah, a penalty would be 1 yard in this case, half the distance to the goal. The quarterback keeps theirs flying on the play. So, and that's going to be a delay of game. That'll be half the distance to the goal.
Well, the problem with that half a distance, Ira, it puts them just that much closer to the goal line. If there's a bad snap, a muff, you know, that could be a fumble in the end zone. Vintage just stiffen up on the defense here, and you know they're just going to give it right to this fullback right up the middle.
17 seconds to go here in the second quarter. 7-3 the score. San Ramon Valley with the lead, and they have the quarterback keep again as he slices off the right side of his center and gets maybe a yard on the play. That's going to be it. They're not going to try another play back here in vulnerability territory. So that's going to end the first half here at San Ramon Valley High School in Danville, California, where our halftime score is the San Ramon Valley Wolves 7 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 3. We'll be back after these messages. Along with Kent Fry, Dino Alessio, Jacob Grant, this is Ira C. Smith. Dino is completing those first half stats, so we'll call our isolated eye, Jacob Grant, over now and get some observations from the sideline report.
It's a very defensive game, whether that's just because, you know, Vintage's defense or offense is banged up and a little rusty from sitting for so long, or just, you know, that their offense is getting overpowered, because it seems like Shonkel isn't getting those big break runs like you normally expect him to get. But they're making it work, and Leach definitely has got the right game plan going right now. I really do think that those misdirectional runs that they've been running have really worked out for him, and especially those QB keepers right up the middle. I think those work well. And that punter for San Ramon, he's a five-star recruit, Division I punter. He won the Ray Guy Award for high school punters. So he's a standout punter when it comes to kicking that football.
Okay, Kid, I know you have some observations that you want to share with us, too, as you were getting a little concerned about some of the happenings out there.
Well, Ira, it just comes down to execution. And number one is you can't afford penalties. You can't afford, you know, not being on the field for, you know, special teams. You got to execute everything at this stage, at this time of the season. And, you know, right now, Vinny's just having problems getting the snap back to the quarterback, whoever it is, whether it be Shonkel, Gisler, or whatever, on a consistent basis. The snap has been high. Offensively, I'd like to see Vintage come out. You know, it's easy for me to play armchair quarterback here, but I'd like to see him feed the ball to Shonkel a lot more, maybe run that jumbo offense a little bit more, or give it to Shonkel. He's your horse. He's got you all to this point all season long. Keep feeding him the ball. He's your workhorse.
We'd like to pass along some other information. Dino's ready now, so when Dino finishes, we'll give you some more information about other things happening on the Vintage Crusher front. But right now, first half stats with Dino.
So quickly, the first half scoring summary, not a whole lot to report. It was the Crushers on the board first. Gonzalez making a field goal from 22 yards out. That gave the Crushers a 3-0 lead. with 6:53 to go in the first quarter. Then on the first play of the second quarter, it was Turner pulling in a 15-yard pass from Camisa for San Ramon Valley. Benedict added the point after touchdown, and the Wolves led 7-3, which is our halftime score. On the individual stats for the Crushers of Vintage High School, they are really struggling to run the ball. They've had six different players carry the ball. Troy Gazzletta has six carries for 22 yards. Michael Weber, 5 for 20. And Hatfield, 2 for 21. So that doesn't sound too bad. Mo Castro, 2 carries, 7 yards. Pages of Kovic, 2 carries, 7 yards. And Valami Shomkel, 8 carries for a net -4 yards. So the Crushers, 25 rushes, 73 yards. Passing, Gazzletta completed 2 of 3 for 25, and Aaron has completed 1 of 2 for 8 yards. So 33 yards passing, 73 yards running, 106 yards offense for the Crushers in a terrific defensive first half for both teams. San Ramon has done even less offensively, but they do have the one touchdown after that short touchdown drive they had. For San Ramon, Hyman, 7 carries, 31 yards. Camisa, 1 carry, 1 yard. Davis, 2 carries, 8 yards. 10 rushing attempts, 40 yards for San Ramon Valley. Camisa did complete 3 of 4 passing for 26 yards and the one touchdown to Turner from 12 yards out. So the Crushers have held San Ramon Valley to just 66 yards in the first half, but San Ramon leads 7-3. San Ramon has only 2 first downs in the first half to 4 for the Crushers. San Ramon has not converted on a single third down, but the Wolves lead the game 7-3, and the Crushers are going to have to figure some things out for the second half, Ira.
Okay, Dino, thank you. We'll be back with some further commentary as far as this halftime story from location in Danville of San Ramon Valley High School. The Wolves lead the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7-3 at halftime. We'll be back after these messages. Well, we're back here at halftime. We're at the San Ramon Valley High School, where the team with the green and gold colors are leading the burgundy and gold by a 7-3 count. I want to pass some information along to you regarding some of the things happening at Vintage High School, including their 41st annual Crab Beat. Now, they refer to it as more than a Crab Beat. They refer to it as a crab, pasta, and tri-tip dinner beat. It's put on by the Vintage Athletic Boosters, but it gets help from so many aspects of the Vintage community, for which they are so thankful. It's going to be held this year at the Napa Valley Expo again, of course, and they're going to have the group that they enjoy, the Wonder Bread 5, will be performing there. It's going to be on January the 19th, so that's coming up, and as you probably know, it will sell out. Get your ticket in before that sold-out sign comes up, because it will happen. They will be selling out as one of the outstanding crab feet, pasta, and tri-tip dinners that you'll find. And that is January the 19th, Napa Valley Expo. The doors open, actually, at 4 o'clock. The dinner will be served around 6:30, probably. And just to mention that our basketball broadcast season got underway this week with the Wine Valley Basketball Tournament. Vintage Crushers lost El Capitan in our first broadcast. Then Napa High defeated Pioneer in our second broadcast. Napa looked very good. The first half was one of the best halves I've seen Napa High play probably since back in the Denny Lewis era. Next broadcast will be on Tuesday, December the 11th. That will be Vacaville at Napa High. Then the following Tuesday, the 18th, will be at Justin Siena for a girls' game, American Canyon against the Justin Siena girls. And by the way, the Justin Siena girls were winners last night over St. Vincent's de Paul and Petaluma, 42-40, to go 2-1 on the season, as they got off to, well, it's kind of a slow start. In fact, they were trailing by 6 points at the start of the fourth quarter, but some good shooting, particularly by Ashley Whittemore, who wound up with 18 points in the game, got them rolling. Lexi Rosenbrand had a good game, too. She had 8 points. But their coach, Andy Betancourt, who graduated from Justin in 2002, said it was their best shooting night of the season. They were supposed to be playing this afternoon at 4:30. They didn't have a report yet on that game. And just congratulations to the Van Windens, Vintage High graduates, who have been outstanding in volleyball, particularly Tori Van Winden, who was named the Big West Conference Player of the Year. She's joined on the All-Big West first team by her sister, Adley Van Winden, who is a senior, so Tori a junior, both of whom graduated from Vintage High School. In fact, Tori is third in the nation in the NCAA Division I for kills per set, while Adley is sixth for career kills in the program history. So, outstanding, and they are from Napa. They went to Venice High School. So, they are continuing to do exceedingly well after finishing there at Venice, going on into the collegiate ranks. They are that good. And we've got the teams coming back on the field. We're just about ready for the second half of the action. Vintage trailing 7-3 here at halftime. Dylan Leach indicated that win or lose, he would join us at the conclusion of the game for his comments on tonight's action. So hopefully we will have a positive report to come your way at that time. And the Vintage program, not only on the varsity level, with the varsity having won 10 in a row, but the JVs under Kyle Shue finished the season 9 wins, no losses, and 1 tie. They were 5-0-1 in the league. And, Ken, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Kyle Shue was in shorts tonight. Sort of reminded me of Frank Humphrey. On a cold night, you would still see Frank in the shorts.
Jake and I were walking in. We saw Kyle. We saw Lenny Deneau, Dennis Rains. We saw a lot of those coaches in shorts. I told Lenny, I said, you're going to freeze out there tonight. He goes, no, we'll be fine. Well, I don't know about you, but it's a little chilly up here in the press box.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of those assistant coaches, because they are factors in helping mold a team.
Yeah, you know, and Ira, we've said this all year long, that you want to have a good coaching staff. You know, that's the key. And, you know, of course, you got Coach Leach as the head coach in his third year now, doing a great job. But you have Lenny Deneau as an assistant. Here's the assistant coaches. You have Lenny Deneau, Kyle Archer, who runs the defense and defensive coordinator, special teams. Coach Andrew Hall, who coached under John Connor, and Les Franco running the offensive line. Preston Garcia, another assistant coach, and Bob Rosenthal. Larry Villanueva, Dennis Raines. Dennis is he is really Dylan's right arm out there. He's Dylan will call the plays from the press box, and Dennis is kind of the on-the-field head coach, if you will. He's the one talking to the players on the field via the headphones from Coach Leach. And it's a good system. It seems to be working, and they've been doing it all year long. And lately we've seen Coach Leach go down on the field during the second half. I'll take a look, see if he's up in the press box or on the field. But either way, it's going to be a great second half here. I'm anxious to see if any halftime adjustments have been made. That'll be interesting to see. But back to your point, Elira, it's important to have a great staff. And Coach Leach is very fortunate. He's had these guys for quite a while, and they're all sticking together.
Well, we talked about the Vintage coaching staff. So let me get some kudos out to the San Ramon Valley Wolves coaching staff. Aaron Becker, who we mentioned, is their head coach. This is his sixth year. He took over from Mark Kessler. His defensive coordinator, who also works with the linebackers, is Logan Kraft. Steve Wallace is their offensive line coach. Tim Stevens works with the running backs and the special teams, also working with special teams. And the wide receivers is Lee Whitbeck. Greg Oates is one of the defensive line coaches. And Wes Kitts works with strength and conditioning. And that's a very important aspect, too.
Well, strength and conditioning is huge. And working out in the weight room, both these teams do a good job at that, living in the weight room.
All right, ready to start the second half. Here's Eddie Gonzalez. He'll be kicking off for Vintage as the Wolves are on the receiving end. It's an end-over-end kick. They're going to be taken at the 10-yard line, and they have a wedge set in front, out the 20, 25, 30, spinning him around at the 35, and he goes down after, but we have a flag as Kobe Davis went down after being spun around, and that was a 27-yard return. We'll wait and find out about the penalty on the kickoff. Face mask against the Chrysers. Well, that'll be a 15-yard penalty, unless it's an incidental one. The incidental face mask grab is only a 5-yard penalty. And that's what the ruling on that one is. It's a 5-yard, not the severe face mask. But it still gives them better field position now as it takes it out to the 43-yard line. So the first play from scrimmage for the San Ramon Valley Wolves will be from their own 43-yard line. Line up in an I formation. Their quarterback, Kamisa, hands off to the tailback, and he gets to the 45-yard line. As coming in first was Jacob Bittner to make the hit. That'll give them a gain of a couple of yards, second down and 8.
San Ramon just coming out. Ira's still running that lead blocker up with the, you know, I call it an ISO play, but it's the lead fullback leading the way. And that time they had an H-back coming across as another blocker and pick up 2 yards. So Vintage defense doing a good job.
They have Noah Thomas as the fullback on this play as Beast is back to pass. Play action, he's getting a hit, and he is going to be sacked way back inside the 30, but they'll move his progress more toward midfield, but the Chrysers, it just swarmed on him. I noted that Josh Robert was there, but there were a couple other helpers.
Yeah, Zekokic, and you had Colton Fisher back there as well, Ira.
So they bring it back to the 35-yard line. They lost just about 10 yards on that play. It wound up, they lost considerably more, but they take it back to the 35-yard line. They have to get into pressure territory to the 47-yard line for a first down. So this is a third down play coming for them, and they use a gun formation now as Kamisa hands off to his running back, and there's Shemko there to make the tackle right away. Nice defensive play as the handoff had gone to Hyman, and Jacob Hyman was stopped by Shemko for very little gain.
This is what you want for the Vintage Crushers, Ira. You want to, you know, force them. San Ramon Valley come out 3 and out, force a punt. And Ira, Coach Leach is on the field this second half, so he'll be coaching from the sideline this second half.
Castro drops back inside of the 25-yard line for the Chrysers. There's the punt, and it's a good one. Castro is going to come over. He's not going to field it. Yes, he is going to field it now at the 17, and he's swarmed upon and driven back inside the 15. Wow. At the last moment, he decided to take the ball that had gone 42 yards, and he was tackled right away.
The only thing, Maurice Castro, he's very exciting to watch. I'd like to see him come up and actually make the catch, whether it be a fair catch or if he can make the catch before he needs to decide to make it a fair catch or not, instead of letting it hit the ground like that.
So the Chrysers have the football to start from their own 20-yard line. And the handoff goes to Shemko. Shemko over left tackle. He gets out to 25, the 30, has the first down, and he is tackled from behind. Coming up there and grabbing him was Caden Stewart, a senior.
And that time, Ira, they had that bunch play again, faked the jet sweep to Weber, and then gave it to Shemko going back to the weak side there, got the first down.
And a 13-yard pickup. 9.5 minutes to go. We're just underway in the second half. This is the third quarter. 7-3 is the score. San Ramon Valley with the lead. The Vintage Chrysers of Napa with the football at the 31, their own 31. Full house backfield this time. Wide out to the right side. The quarterback drops the ball, and he lunges forward and covers it up. Just a miscue from the center.
And Vintage cannot afford these miscues, Ira. This is what's happening, and it just throws them off big time.
So they lose a couple of yards, and they lose the down.
Yeah, now it's going to be second down, Ira, and 11 from the, looks like the 30-yard line of the Vintage Crushers.
Actually, inside the 30 a little bit here, as Crushers had double wides out to the right, single wide to the left, and the quarterback is going to keep the ball, and that is Weber, and he gets just a short gain as he got across the 30 out to about the 31-yard line. Maurice on the carry, Michael Weber, 5'10", senior.
Again, Ira, the snap was high, and, you know, Sam Ramon is not covering up the center, but it could be, you know, I went and got a scout report from the old line coach himself at halftime here, and it could be that the center, it looks like he's having to make a reach block there because they're running a four-man front. They're not covering him up. He's got to get that snap back there consistently.
Jumkel is a single setback. He's there to block. They sit, look for a screen. It does not develop. The quarterback rolls back, and he puts one up in the air for grabs. And it's grabbed by the green as San Ramon Valley picks it off. And there is a flag maybe roughing the passer. And that could be that is not the call yet, but it is illegal receiver downfield. And so that was against the Crushers. It'll be declined because the Wolves had picked off the lob pass. I said it was up for grabs. It was just kind of in the middle of a flock of people.
Well, Ira, you know, you just say this, but you can't have these turnovers and miscues. You know, now they're going to give Sam Ramon the ball at the 47-yard line of San Ramon, so they only have about half the field to get there for six.
Now they try to take advantage. They took advantage of an earlier miscue on that punt. Brandon Camisa, the quarterback with the I formation, gets to his tailback again, and Hyman gets to the 50, and that's about it. He needs to go into Crusher territory to the 43-yard line for a first down. That'll bring up second down and about 7 yards to go for a first down. 7.5 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. A lot of time to go. 7-3 scores. San Ramon Valley in the lead. Coming into the game, Camisa, the quarterback, had passed for over 1,000 yards and averaged over 14 yards per reception. And he hands off to the tailback again, and they stop him shy of a first down. The ball carried that time by Griffin Turner.
Jameis Barrett came up to turn the ball, play back inside, and then Schomfield was there waiting, so now it's going to be third and a long three here. Vintage defense is doing a great job all night. They just can't get their offense moving, Ira.
Absolutely right. That the defense has been superb, actually, on both sides.
Oh, no, no doubt about it. That's this team is, like I say, it's smash-mouth football. San Ramon's going to burn a timeout, but the Vintage defense is what's kept them in this game.
They absolutely have, Kent. San Ramon Valley has less than 70 yards of offense in this game. They've made only two first downs. They have not converted on third down even once in this game. And the Vintage defense is doing a superb job. They just have to keep hanging in there until the offense can get going.
Well, it's going to be another one of those third downs. They only need about 3 yards this time to pick up the first down. But they are probably in four down territory now.
Well, you know, I don't know this, Coach Ira. We'll see, but we'll see how the play develops if they want to go for it on two plays or force a punt here. See what happens.
Chris, that's conjecture now, depending on what happens here on this first play, because it's third down and 3 yards to go. Still outside the 45-yard line, call it the 46-yard line, and Camisa puts a man in motion. He rolls to his right. He's looking to pass. Fires on the run, and it is incomplete. Well, a nice try by the intended receiver. Going up was Jacob Gadasi trying for the grab.
Yeah, it was a great effort there, Ira. Almost a spectacular catch, and finishes again has forced San Ramon to bring the punt team out on the field. So they want to pin Vintage deep in their own territory here.
Castro was going to drop back at his own 5-yard line. And the punter, Jackson Forster, gets it away from his 45-yard line. A high one, good coverage allowed. And the ball kicks and goes back down inside the 5-yard line. They're letting it roll down to the 4-yard line. Wow, what a great punt that was. It goes 42 yards and no return.
Well, that's just special teams. You know, the special teams here is definitely the edge of San Ramon as they have the better punter. That's twice now they've pinned Vintage deep within their own 5-yard line.
He's punted 4 times for an average of 44 yards per kick.
This is high school football, and these are college-type kicks that he's making.
Yes, he's getting it way up high. I can understand why he won a Ray Guy Award, because he's punting just like Ray Guy used to do. Great hang time.
He has good coverage possibility. So the Crusaders now at their own 5-yard line is to Castro. Castro breaks through the 10, 15, 20. Castro, the 30, the 35, and tackled from behind. Coming up to get him was Clay Bactow. Bactow making the tackle at the 40-yard line. Good move by Mo Castro.
Yeah, Castro so quick. Little X action in the backfield where the backs are, you know, forming an X. So one back's going the other way, and Castro's coming the other way. Boy, he just got through that hole so fast.
Coming up on the 6-minute mark here in the third quarter, 7-3 is the score. San Ramon Valley has the lead. Vintage Chrysler's going into the gun formation, putting a man in motion, getting the snap, giving to Shamko. Shamko is tackled at the 40, lunges ahead to the 41-yard line. As coming in on the stop was Deuce Palmer.
Pick up a 5 yards, Ira, and you'll take that every time. First and 5, now you're at second and 5. Feed it to your horse. Give it to number 43.
Colin Maroney coming in there at defensive line position now. So the Crusaders look at second down and 5 yards to go as they're getting near midfield. The ball at the 41-yard line. The shotgun formation. And they have back in there Jake Aaron. I guess even though Aaron normally wears 12, and the quarterback in there is number 10, but we have a penalty called against the Chrysers, and the official on the far side by the Vintage sideline. And I didn't see the referee give an indication. Well, what
Ira, he gave an indication, but he indicated offside, which is not usually something you see against the offense, unless somebody lined up offside.
That could be the situation. Anyway, the handoff to Shamko, and he's tackled before he gets back to the 40-yard line.
Wire again, giving it to Shamko. He picked up another tough 4 or 5 yards there. It's going to be a 3rd and a long 7 from the Vintage 38. Let's see what Coach Leach has dialed up here.
Oh, big third down play. Coming up on 4.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Vintage sends Logan out to the left side. That's Arthur. And the quarterback, Gisletta, he just gets back to the line of scrimmage and then lunges ahead. That was a broken play, and Gisletta wasn't sure what to do.
Well, they faked the Shampoo coming to the right side, and they went to run back the option to the weak side. San Ramon was all over Ira. Again, we alluded that both defenses have just played extremely well tonight. This was San Ramon's time to just turn the defense on, force Vintage to punt the ball.
This is one of those games where one play could really make the game for the other team. And they're faking. There is a whistle. The Chrysers were faking a punt, and they snapped it directly to Michael Weber, but the official on the near side this time.
What happened, Ira, is the San Ramon coaches realized it was going to be a fake, and they screamed for a timeout from the sideline.
So it's a timeout for San Ramon Valley.
Okay, so that prevented the Crushers from having an opportunity for that first down.
It did burn a timeout, though, for San Ramon, which could be very critical later on in this game.
I think they're going to have a direct snap to Semco on this play. Those were ready to go there from about the 40. Maybe not. Now they're going to look like they're going to punt. As Eddie Gonzalez drops back, he'll be there at the 30-yard line. They have a single safety back at the other 30. Low snap, gets the kick away, and that's a good one. Going over, bounding, and getting a good finish. Bounce down inside the 15, down to about the 12-yard line. Boy, Gonzalez should have been punting all year.
Well, I tell you, right now it's a battle of the punters and a battle of the defenses right now.
48 yards and no return on that. Eddie Gonzalez, he came through so good in that game at Antioch in double overtime, kicking the winning field goal. Kicked a 22-yard field goal here. So he has scored the last 2 points as far as the Crushers, the last three in the game against Antioch and the first three in this game. Quarterback back to pass on play action. Pass is complete to Thomas. Noah Thomas has dropped at the 25-yard line.
Nice play, though, Iris, sneaking the back out there on that play action pass. Take both backs and then snuck the first one out. And just a really nice play by San Ramon there.
Well, the ball is at the 24-yard line. It was the first down for the Wolves. And the quarterback, Brandon Camisa, spells his last name, C-A-M-M-I-S-A, Camisa is the way he says it, and then I formation behind him. He gets to the tailback, who starts out, gets by one, slips by one, but it's hit by another, and Michael Weber came over there to finish it off.
He had Colton Fisher there, Josh Roberts initially made the play, and then Colton Fisher came in and just cleaned them, and Weber was in there as well.
So it's going to be second down, a loss of a yard on the play. Second down and 11 yards to go with the Crushers defense trying to hang in there. Weber is cornerback out on the right side on this play as Kamisha has him up at the line and play action again as he drops back to pass. He is in the pocket. Now he just throws the ball away. He did that just before getting sacked.
Yeah, he's feeling the pressure coming, nowhere to go. Good defense. Weber out here just staying with his man, and the quarterback had nowhere to throw. He had to throw it out of bounds. Forces San Ramon down to a 3rd and 11, ball at the 25-yard line, Ira.
He was looking for Noah Thomas again, and Thomas was the one that was being covered there by Michael Weber. So it's 3rd down and 11 yards to go. So another 3rd down play. They have yet to convert on a 3rd down. Crushers defense doing a fine job here tonight at San Ramon Valley High School football field. A gun formation now. Going in motion is Jared Kinney, quarterback back to pass, throwing long. It's up for grabs, and it is taken by the Crushers at the 35-yard line. As coming in for Vintage was Cutter Low, and he got in there high to take the ball away from Jacob Gazzi.
Yeah, Ira, that was just a jump ball there, and Cutter Low out-jumped him, basically went up and got that ball for a pick and a big turnover there. Now Vintage has a ball on their own 36-yard line. See if they can get a drive going and punch the score up.
All right, we're still in the third quarter with 2:15 to go, and we still have a 7-3 score, the same score we had at halftime. The Vintage Crusher is trying to get that momentum back. Dandini goes out wide to the left side, tight end on the right. Shomko carries. He is hit and brought down after a yard gain. They got him up around the shoulder pads and brought him down there. They went to the opposite side from Colton Fisher that time.
Yeah, that time Vintage came out in double tights and just ran a drive series with Shomko, the lone back, and San Ramon all over it.
For Vintage, it looks like the young Shomko has come into the game for the first time. So I think this would be his first varsity experience on this next snap. he's just a freshman. Mosadi Shamko, 5'7", freshman. And we'll see if the older, there's a flag on the play. That was Shamko trying to take it in the middle there.
The flag looks like it's going to be a hold here, Ira. That's where it's coming from.
Let's see if they keep both Shamkos in there. Well, the Crushers aren't getting any breaks as far as officiating in the game thus far. They are having some costly penalties against them.
Called an illegal shift there, and it was the whole. It's a hold, and they're going to decline it, Ira. Declining.
Well, we'll take it here at the 40-yard line, where it is going to be second down at the 40, and the Crushers look at, well, to make it a third down now because they declined the penalty, that's right. And the Crushers have Dandini out wide left side, and a The quarterback keeps the ball, and he is going to be hit and sacked there, and he's going nowhere. He tried to run behind Shamko, but Shamko is met every time that snap by one or two of the players, whether or not he has the ball. If you're going to run behind him, you're going to run right into the deep end.
Well, I really, yeah, they're just trying to run option, and just San Ramon just blew up the mesh and had nowhere to go. Basically, they had both Shamko and Gisletta covered.
Well, punting again for Eddie Gonzalez. His last punt went 48 yards and no return. This one is another good one. High in the air. A fair catch is called for and made. That was back inside of the 30-yard line. It would have gotten a lot more yardage probably if he had not called for the fair catch and let it land, but it was still a 33-yard punt and no return.
Yeah, again. San Ramon's defense stepping up. Now Vintage defense needs to step back up. That's what we've been seeing this whole second half here.
Defense has been the name of the game tonight as far as both teams are concerned. We're in the final minute of the third quarter. It's 7-3. The San Ramon Valley Wolverines in Danville are leading, and they have the football. And they try a counter play. And the ball carrier, Kobe Davis, is stopped for maybe a yard gain at the most. Maybe not. Maybe they might be putting it back down right about the same place where it started from. So it's going to be second and 10.
And that, you're right, Ira. That was the old counter trade, Washington Redskin counter trade. Josh Robert came up and made a nice stop. Shonko cleaned it up along with Weber. Nice play.
Well, that's the end of the quarter, so we're at the end of three quarters now, and it's still 7-3 as far as San Ramon Valley. We'll be back with the fourth quarter after this message. All right, we're back here at San Rafael Valley, and you guys alluded to this earlier, but a real nice turnout on both sides of the field tonight.
Yeah, it really is. It's a full house here, Ira, on both sides. It's a lot different from the Antioch game. It's a lot of fans from Napa have made it out. A lot of fans here from Danville here obviously are here as well.
So the home team, the Wolves, with a second down and 10, heading to that south end zone here in the fourth quarter, and there is a flag dropped for a false start against San Ramon Valley. That'll cost them 5 yards. San Ramon Valley came into this game with a 7-4 record. The Vintage Crushers were 10-2, having won 10 games in a row. The Crushers, though, had not played in a game since November the 9th. And here we are in December.
Yeah, it's amazing. Of course, we had the fires and the smoke up there at the Chico area, Paradise, and a lot of games were canceled due to that, Ira.
Set now. It's Camisa from the I formation, faking, play action, back, fires, and the pass is caught up to 35, shakes off one tackler, hit by another one. The guy that actually made the tackle was Cutter Lowe, who was the second tackler as the ball was received by Camara. He spells his last name like Camara, but pronounces it Camara.
and that was just a well-thrown ball. Couldn't have been placed any better because Josh Roberts was all over it. It came about an inch from an interception. That was just a great pass and a great catch.
Well, it's third down, and they have just a yard to go, so this is their best opportunity to get their first down off of a third down tonight. They have a tight formation now, and the quarterback gets to the tailback, and I don't know if he made it or not. I think he probably did, but it'll depend on the spot of the ball. Right now, they're still unpiling there, and that was just a dive play, just straight ahead. Now the referee has signaled first down. So at their own 40-yard line, they get their first down off of a third down situation. And we're just underway in the fourth quarter of the game, 7-3 the score. And these Crushers are trailing as we're coming down to the final aspect of the semifinal in Division One. Jacob Gadasi goes out wide to the left. The quarterback hands off to the tailback, and he gets a good block from the fullback, and gets maybe just short yardage that time for Hyman. Jacob Hyman up, I guess, about the 41-yard line. They're putting it now down to the 42, so a couple-yard gain.
And I really, there's really been no change at halftime, no adjustments per se. It's just, you know, San Ramon's still coming out with their lead blocker running the ISOs, a few counters here and there, but the Vintage defense is just playing so superb. Shomko and Colton Fisher especially just playing a great job.
So double wide down to the left side. A tight end over on the right. A single setback as they go to a trip out to the left. The pitch is out to the left side, and they get about to the 45-yard line. They have to get to midfield for a first down, and the tackle is made after the reception for no gain after the reception, but he got about 3 yards on the completed pass.
They just ran a little flanker bubble screen out there, and I tell you who made the tackle out there, Ira? Zach Daniels from his defensive tackle out there making the tackle.
And Caden Stewart made the reception there as far as the Wolves. And the Wolves with that play are finally at 100 yards of total offense for the entire game. Vintage is doing a terrific job defensively. Well, another third down. It's third down and 5 to go at their own 45-yard line. The quarterback from the gun, back to pass. He is stripped and he drops the ball, and the Crushers have recovered at the 45-yard line. They have not given that indication yet, but that's the way I saw it. And the officials confirm it is the Crushers' ball.
Yeah, Ira, he was trying to escape the pressure, and he just tripped on his feet. Went down, and as he's going down, he let the ball out, and it's a loose ball, then he's jumped on it.
So maybe that's the break that the Crushers need. They are in Wolves territory now at the 44-yard line. It's 1st and 10 for the Vintage Crushers. They trail in the ball game, 7-3, with 8:49 to go in the fourth quarter. Crushers huddling up right at midfield. They break from the huddle. Sending out wide to the right side, Logan Bartlett. They have a wing on the left side. That wing goes in motion. The quarterback keeps the ball, and that was Michael Weber, and he gets maybe a yard. Just tried to angle off of that right side and look for a blocker there and didn't get it and was brought down after a yard gain.
Then he's just trying to run that option, Ira, option keep this time with Weber, and San Ramon's just all over it.
Boy, both defenses have played superbly.
Kent, do you know, does Vintage have a reverse in their playbook? Take advantage of that pursuit, maybe?
Or the counter, Dino. That'd be a great call.
And Shamko gets the snap, and he goes to the 40-yard line. They have to get down to the 34-yard line for a first down. It's going to bring up third down and 6 yards to go for Crushers there as Shample was stopped after that game to the 40.
Dino, I'm impressed because you're absolutely right. This is where you need some misdirection here as an encounter or a reverse.
Shample is in the backfield and takes a direct snap. He gets a block there at the 45, but the defense comes over right away and brings him down. They are keying so much on Shample tonight. He had negative yardage in the first half of this game. He has not picked up too much here, but we'll see if the Crushers are in four down territory because it's going to be fourth down at the 39-yard line, needing 5 yards for a first down.
You know what? I actually think I'd punt. I'd try and pin them deep here and let the defense make one more stop.
Well, they're going for it. The Crushers line up in a gun formation. And then somebody is taking a timeout. The Vintage Crushers take a timeout. So we'll be back in a moment here with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And Vintage trailing 7-3, taking timeout for this message. All right, fourth down coming up. So, Kent, on the sideline, what do you think that Dylan Leach is saying?
Well, I think, you know, is he going to change his mind and try to punt him, pin him deep, or is he going to go for it here? Knowing Coach Leach, we've seen it all year long. He's a gambler. He's going to go for it.
Now, there come the Crushers back onto the field now. The ball is over the right side hash mark, so that will be the short side of the field. They line up in sort of a tight formation, and Shomko's going to take a direct snap on this. They need 5 yards. He looks. He's back. He passes, and it is dropped. The pass was there, but the reception was not. Oh, that was a first down play.
They tried to run that jumbo formation, and then Sam Ramon came up, Shomko threw it to Colton Fisher, and big Colton Fisher just couldn't hang on to it. Really nice design play, just not executed to the far side of it. Colton Fisher dropped the pass, now the ball turned over on downs.
And Fisher hobbled off the field, too. He was not looking very healthy as he was getting over to the far sideline. So, big break there for San Ramon Valley as the pass was there. They line up in the I formation, a slot right side, tight end over to the left side, and the quarterback fakes to the fullback, hands off to Tim. He breaks the tackle and gets across the 45-yard line. A good second effort by Jacob Hyman there as he shook loose from one would-be tackler.
Yeah, Zach Daniels had him tied up, and I'm telling you, Ira, that's the first time all year long I've seen Zach miss a tackle. The guy is just outstanding. It's the only time I've seen him miss a tackle all year long.
Well, two guys you can depend on, not only him, but Colton Fisher. So dependable throughout the year.
Absolutely. That defensive front has been the core of this Vintage defense.
Second down, 2 yards to go, a gain of 8 yards by Hyman on that last run. And they'll give to him again. He goes to the left side this time. Picks up a first down, and he gets collared there. They just grabbed him up around his shoulders and brought him down at the 46-yard line in the Treasure territory now. Now the clock is going to start to be a factor.
Yeah, Ira, Vintage needs to make a stop here and get the ball back. No doubt about it, because time is starting to run short for them.
Well, Vintage scored first, but that was way back in the first quarter of play. Then the San Ramon Valley Wolves able to get a touchdown after getting excellent field position on a kind of a muff punt by the Crushers. They actually punted the ball but only went about 10 yards. All right, here we go now. First down. The quarterback hands off, and they're not going anywhere this time. It's Jacob Hyman. He is stopped behind the line of scrimmage as they tried a little sweep to the left.
Yeah, they're just running that lead blocker that time. You know, Bittner was in there. Zukovic was in there. Vintage defense just stopped it cold.
They've been doing that pretty regularly tonight. Vintage defense has been very tenacious. All at the 48-yard line. They have to get down to the 37-yard line for a first down. So it's second down and 11 yards to go. Jadasi comes out wide to the right side. They have a tight end over on the left side, a slot right in the I formation backfield, and play action. The quarterback's pass is caught by Thomas, and he gets inside the 40-yard line. In fact, I think he gets the first down as he continued to go for another 3 yards after the the tackle. Noah Thomas was able to pick up the first down. Ball is at the 36-yard line of Vintage now. So this is an important series for the Chrysler defense to get that ball back as soon as they can with 5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Gadasi out to the left, wing to the right, high backfield. Tailback, hand it, gets the handoff, gets inside the 35 by about a yard. As that time it was Griffin Turner, a junior. Now Turner will come out of the lineup. 4.5 minutes to go. The clock is moving. The clock becoming an ally for the San Ramon Valley Wolves now as they have the ball at the 34-yard line of the Vintage Crushers on second down and 8 yards to go. And the quarterback, Brandon Camisa, takes plenty of time, hands off to the tailback again, and he finds some running room. He found a hole. He gets inside the 25 and dropped in at about the 24-yard line. Nice move by Jacob Hyman as he started one way and quickly changed directions when he saw the hole.
Yeah, Iron moved to change, too. That's another first down, new set of downs for San Ramon. They're on the move. Vintage just looked a little tired, hands on their hips, little heads hanging a little bit here. Looks like the conditioning factor of not playing for 3 weeks is starting to kick in.
Inside of 4 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, 7-3 score. San Ramon Valley with the ball and the lead. I formation backfield, and Mason hands off to the tailback, who again swings out. Hyman on the sweep. He is hit, and he still lunges forward after Josh Robert made a tackle. Picked up about 5 yards. Most of that was after the tackle was made.
Yeah, it's just great effort on the running back there. Just, you know, again, running the lead block to the outside. Right? The time is a 45 ISO, and San Ramon doing a great job there. They picked up 5 yards on that first down for a second and five here now at the 20-yard line, Ira.
Right there, just nosing inside of the 20-yard line. So the Crusher defense needs to stiffen up here. They line up in the I formation backfield, and the tailback once again will carry, gets some good yardage, breaks the tackle, gets a first down, gets down inside the 15, down inside the 10, and finally is brought down about the 8-yard line as Jacob Hyman doing the job. Hyman coming into tonight at 317 yards on the season. He was averaging, though, 6.7 yards per carry. But he has done the work part of the drive, getting him down there for first and goal.
Absolutely. San Ramon is on the move here, Ira. They're pushing the defensive line off the ball, and now they're just down there threatening to score.
There is the hand off, and this time they try to work a draw right up the middle, and it is stopped for no gain on the play. And Vintage takes a timeout. So the Chrysler's trailing 7-3 needs a stop here on this particular series.
They need a big stop, Ira. Need to get the ball back one way or the other. A turnover, a stop. They're running out of time here.
The Wolves took over with about 7 minutes left on the clock. They've run 11 plays and used up almost 5 minutes and forced Vintage to use their second timeout. They'll only have one remaining.
Just a reminder that you're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. We have Jacob Grant with his observations. We'll be hearing from him a little later. Dino Alessio keeping those statistics, and not a whole lot of offense that he's been tracking tonight. But let's find out what happens now on this important defensive series for the Vintage Crushers as the Wolves come out of their huddle. They line up now, wing to the right, and they run it to the right as Hyman again, I believe, was the ball carrier as they worked it over there to Hyman. He stopped just shy of the goal. He got down there, looks like about the 2-yard line, and the Vintage Crushers spend the timeout. So down at the 2-yard line, it's going to be third down, goal to go for the Wolves. And it looks like, did he go out of bounds there, or did the Crushers use their final timeout? Crushers called timeout on that with just the 2 minutes to go. Well, in any case, what a football season it has been. The first year for that Vine Valley Athletic League, and 5 of the 7 teams made it into the playoffs.
Absolutely, making a statement, and that's you know, good to see. And obviously some teams from this league made the playoffs as well. Ira, you know, there's different divisions within these leagues. So let's see if Vintage can make a stop here.
Vintage had been averaging 332.4 yards per contest. Boy, they're way under that in this game. High formation. Here we go. This is a big play on third down. They give it and go into the end zone. Touchdown, Noah Thomas. And then a late flag comes out afterward. But it will not create any problem as far as the touchdown is concerned. It will not negate that.
Nope, just a straight give to the fullback, and he went in untouched, Ira.
So that pretty well puts it out of reach now with a minute 48 to go. It makes it 13-3. Crushers can return the kickoff for a touchdown like they almost did in that opening kickoff of the game, and then have an onside kick recovery. But it's going to be an extra point attempt. The kicker is Jayden Benedict. They say they have a specialty for their point after. That is Jayden Benedict. They have a specialist for the kickoff. That's Sam Stevenson. And for the punter, that's Jackson Foster. You're going to be hearing about him later on. Referee is coming over to the near sideline. I don't know, wanting to say something to Coach Eric Baker. Well, that's it. Just to put something on the clock.
Yeah, they're changing the time. The clock was running after the touchdown, so they're putting a minute 58 on the clock.
That was serious. He called the coach over, asked him to tell their clock operator to make that adjustment. So, but they will be kicking the extra point. And as Ken Fry has alluded to throughout the evening, their special teams have been very special.
Yeah, I tell you, I give the edge to San Ramon on the special teams, Ira.
So we get set now as they're ready for the snap and the placement, and the kick is on the way, and it's a dandy. Right through there. And so there's a timeout now with 1:58 to go in the fourth quarter. It is the Wolves 14, the Vintage Crushers 3. We'll be right back after this message. Sam Stevenson picking up the football at the 25-yard line after the penalty was assessed. And so Vintage needs a return. They have Mo Castro back here on the left. And here is the kick coming over. And instead of Castro, it is taken by Camus. Camus Barrett up across the 35 at 40, out to about the 45. He made a good move, but is brought down at the 45.
Ira, that kickoff was from the 25-yard line, so evidently there had been some sort of penalty.
We had mentioned that.
Yeah.
So that's... we had indicated that was the case. So here we go. The Crushers now getting set. And the quarterback is Aaron, and his pass is incomplete. Jacob Aaron with that
I think I may give you some wrong information. I think that is Birdsall in there.
All right. Well, I was going with what you had said earlier because I know last time we had Colton Fisher with the wrong number on.
Yes, we did, but we have Colton tonight with number 18.
All right. Yeah, we haven't seen Birdsall out wide. He usually is a wide receiver and spread way out, and so that will be his first experience as far as the varsity and at the quarterback. He has it now. Drops back to pass. He's going to run with the ball now. Runs to the far side, and he's brought down shy of midfield. Clock continues to move. 1:35 to go. We're in the fourth quarter. It's 14-3 now. San Ramon in the lead. Birdsall stays in there at the quarterback. Birdsall back to pass. Tries to look. Lobs one down. And it is dropped inside the 40-yard line in Wolves territory. Just tried a little pass underneath the coverage. But the Crushers did not hold on to it. Crushers mostly been a running team, averaging 263 yards per game compared to 69 yards per game passing. So it looks like San Ramon Valley is going to be playing for the section championship next week. And the Crushers, after an excellent season with a 10-game winning streak, getting snapped here tonight. Birdsall, Crushers near midfield, drops back to pass. He's rushed. He's sacked. And that was on fourth down, and that'll do it then as Birdsall goes down at the 45-yard line on the sack. 14-3, the score, as, boy, there is a lot of jumping up and down out there by the players and a lot of excitement in the crowd on the near sideline here where the San Ramon Valley Wolves partisans are situated. A minute 12 remaining, so the Crushers tried something they hadn't done too much this year, throw the ball.
Yeah, Ira, they've never been in that position where they've had to go to a two-minute O per se, and especially with your third-string quarterback. Gisletta's not their quarterback. Jacob Aaron's not a quarterback. Looks like San Ramon Valley should just go into victory formation here, Ira, and take a knee. That's what they're doing.
Bittner, I think, has been quarterback. And Weber, of course, has been quarterback.
Right, right. And it's just something they haven't had to work on all year long. So it hurts when you don't have your starting quarterback, obviously. But hats off to San Ramon. I think they won the battle up front, Ira. I really do. It's been a defensive battle all night long. And San Ramon on that last drive just took it to Vintage and put it in the end zone.
Well, the clock is moving down inside of a minute now. It's 45 seconds to go. They just need one more snap of the football. And that's just a matter of procedure from here. So it's going to be at the end of what's been a good season. Now, the coach said he was coming over. So we'll keep it here on our wrap-up long enough to see if we can get some comments from Dylan Leach. It's pretty hard to do coming in after a loss. But he had indicated that he would come up win or lose. 14-3 is the score. We'll be back with some commentary, a look at the statistics, and hopefully some comments from Coach Dylan Leach. But right now we'll take time out for these messages. Well, we're back here at San Ramon Valley High School in this North Coast Section Les Schwab Tire Championship Series Division I game, where the Crushers found their season come to an end with a 10-3 record. San Ramon goes in for the section crown next week with an 8-4 record against a team from their own. This team's not in their league, but several of the teams that were in their league were in the playoffs in Division I. But last year, San Ramon Valley was in a 9-team league, the East Bay Football League, and they won the league. They were undefeated in the league last year, but lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, that happens sometimes, Ira. But, you know, hats off to San Ramon tonight. I think they, it is basically, you know, like I said in the beginning, it's going to be smash-mouth football, and it's exactly what it was. And in the defensive battle all night long, special teams, a little bit of the edge to San Ramon, obviously, especially early in the game. But, you know, in the end, San Ramon had one more drive where they could put it in the end zone, where Vintage just had their chances on a couple turnovers at midfield and couldn't punch it in for 3 points or six. And that's really the difference of this game. But hats off to the Crushers. I am very proud of the Vintage Crushers coming this far in the playoffs. And what a statement that makes for the younger guys coming up from the JV team who was undefeated last year or this season. You know,
and the freshmen were undefeated.
Absolutely. And it's just a great statement for these underclassmen to see these varsity players battle this far into the semifinals of this new section that they're in. And Vintage definitely made a name in the section just coming this far. Very proud of the Vintage Crushers.
Well, let's find out how the observations went on the outside. Jacob Grant has been chilling outside.
It's cold. Much like the Vintage offense, it was freezing out there. And, you know, from what I could tell, it was just failed execution. Like Kent's been saying all night, you know, the plays that were there, like the play up field, Vintage could have had a catch, a first down, and a 25-yard pickup, but it bounces off his chest and back out onto the field. And runs, that they're not getting the blocking schemes right. They're not going in between the tackles. I was just unimpressed with the execution tonight on offense, especially the running game that Vintage has that's so important. And I know Dino's going to highlight it a little later, but, you know, the running game, especially from Shomkul, who needs to be a big factor, just was not there tonight.
Well, we'll find out. He had negative yards in that first half. So, Dino, let's take a look and find out how the totals look here following the end of our football broadcast season, the end of the road for the Vintage Crushers this year. But they'll be back for a long time to come.
Yes, it's bittersweet, but definitely congratulations to the team on a fantastic season. 10-3, they had a 10-game winning streak, and they just went up against a really tough opponent tonight. And, well, these stats will kind of tell the story. There wasn't a whole lot of offense. It was a good old-fashioned defensive struggle. At halftime, the score was 7-3 in favor of San Ramon Valley. Nobody scored in the third quarter. San Ramon got the ball with 6 minutes 59 seconds to go in the fourth quarter and put together a terrific drive, 12 plays, 61 yards, took 5 minutes and 1 second off the clock. Thomas, the fullback, took the ball in from 2 yards out. Benedict added the extra point, so our 7-3 halftime score became a 14-3 final in favor of San Ramon. Looking at the individual numbers, first to the visitors, the Crushers of Vintage High School, the leading ball carrier was Mo Castro with 39 yards on 3 carries. Valami Shomkul had 28 yards on 14 carries, as he did a little better in the second half, but finished with only 28 yards. Troy Gazletta had 23 yards on 9 carries. Michael Weber, 22 yards on 7 carries. Paige Zivkovic, 7 yards on 2 carries. Hatfield, 21 yards on 2 carries. And Birdsall, negative 2 yards on 2 carries. For Vintage, 39 rushing attempts, 138 net yards rushing, and that's just about half of what they usually gain rushing in a game. Passing, Gizletta completed 2 out of 3 for 25 yards. Birdsall completed 1 out of 5 for 8 yards and had 1 intercepted. Shomkul attempted 1 pass, and it was incomplete. So 9 passing attempts, just 3 completions, 33 yards passing to go with 138 yards rushing, 171 yards of offense for the Crushers on 48 offensive plays. For the winning side, the San Ramon Valley Wolves, and congratulations to them as they move on to the section championship next week. Their leading ball carrier was Hyman, the tailback,
91 tough yards on 22 carries. Kamisa, the quarterback, had negative 11 yards on 7 carries as he was thrown for a loss several times. Davis, 3 carries, 8 yards. Turner, 1 carry, 3 yards. Thomas, 1 carry, 2 yards. But that was the touchdown that put the game away. For San Ramon Valley, 34 rushes, only 93 yards rushing. So they were held under 100 yards rushing for the game. Kamisa had a sharp game at quarterback, completed 7 out of 11 for 68 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. The touchdown was to Turner from 12 yards out. Basically a pass to Turner out in the flat, and he ran the ball in for the touchdown. Thomas had 2 catches for 23 yards. Altogether, 5 different receivers pulled in the 7 completions from Kamisa. On the team numbers for Vintage, they had just 6 first downs in the game, 5 running, 1 on a pass play. Vintage converted just 2 of 10 on third down. They did convert 2 out of 4 on fourth down. The Crushers had 2 fumbles but did not lose either one, and the Crushers were hit with 6 penalties for 60 yards. For San Ramon Valley, they had 8 first downs, 6 rushing, 2 passing. They converted only 1 third down in the entire game. They were 1 out of 5 there. The San Ramon Valley punted 4 times for a 42-yard average. San Ramon Valley lost 2 fumbles, and they were penalized 4 times for a total of 31 yards. And that's pretty much the story. Not a lot of statistics to talk about. A good defensive struggle, and San Ramon Valley did what it took to win the game.
Well, one player that I thought was interesting out there tonight, and he had nothing to do with any of the action, was number 29. When I saw Masadi Shamko come out onto the field, I felt, well, one Shamko is graduating, but here's a freshman getting into this game. 3 more years.
Yeah, he's another Shamko coming up through the ranks there, and they brought him out. He lined up in a slot back position, and then there was a penalty called on it. But he stayed in there, and they ran the next play. But like you said, Ira, he got his first taste of varsity action, and it happened to be in a playoff game.
The last freshman I remember, you might recall some other ones. Steve Hendrickson was a freshman when he played regularly, back both ways for Napa High as a freshman.
Absolutely. And, of course, Steve, you know, went on to Cal and then the 49ers and the Chargers and has a Super Bowl ring.
All right, well, let's select players of the game for tonight. I guess we can select one for the winners. And Jacob, since you were out there in the cold, let's get your pick for someone from the green and gold.
Easiest answer I've had all night, the punter. 100%. It was the battle of the punters in my eyes. Jackson Foster. I mean, like I was saying earlier, he's a 5-star recruit at the punter position. I mean, he's projected to go on and do great things in college and professionally, ultimately. I mean, if you can boom it religiously at 45, 50 yards a try, you're going to go pretty far. And you could tell tonight that that was kind of his specialty, as he was pinning Vintage back in some pretty tough field position almost every time.
You know, that was a really good point, Jacob, because in a game like this that's so evenly matched, such a defensive struggle, field position was so important, and he definitely gave his team good field position by giving Vintage poor field position. Not only was his average punt 42 yards, but he was getting great hang time and really made it tough for the Crushers. However, in the interest of naming some different players, I'm going to go with Hyman, the tailback for San Ramon Valley. I was impressed with him because the regular star tailback, feature back for San Ramon Valley, was injured in the game last week, did not play tonight, and I thought Hyman did a great job picking up 91 tough yards on 22 carries, and especially in the second half. He had about 60 of his yards in the second half.
when they really needed it. So he's my guy from San Ramon Valley, Ira.
Yeah, he only had 317 yards on the season coming into this game. And as you alluded to, he's filling in for Tristan Sinclair. Sinclair was their leading rusher before this contest, as Sinclair was a guy that kind of did it all back here. He had over 1,000 yards on the season and scored more touchdowns than anyone on the team. And when you miss him, well, you're missing somebody, but the Chrysler were missing four very valuable players.
Yeah, they were, Ivan, no doubt about it. And what about Noah Thompson, the quarterback for San Ramon, just maintaining the general out there on the field? But, you know, I'm going with our young New York Islander here, the punter there, Jackson Foster. That guy, he pinned Vinish back there three different times, I think, within the five-yard line. That was huge, just starting within your own five-yard line, though. That's a good pick there, Jake. I like that pick.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm going to go with Noah Thomas, the guy who scored it last touchdown. He was in there at the linebacker spot, did a nice job on the defense, broke up a pass, was just a battler, I thought, the whole game through, and they needed some people to fill in there for Sinclair being out, and Thomas was the blocker for Hyman. If it's not been for Thomas getting some lead blocks there, Hyman would not have had his 90-some yards on that. So let's now go to the Vintage Crushers for the final time this season, the players of the game. Kent, we'll start out with you then.
Well, I was a defensive battle, and I'm going with a defensive player. I've been impressed with him all year long. I really have. And obviously, he doesn't get as much press as Colton does. But number 58, Zach Daniels, had a great game again. And I just like the way he plays. He's hard-nosed. He's tough. He's smart. Never comes off the field. So Zach Daniels is my guy.
Dino, I'm gonna actually go with Troy Gislada. He was kind of in there in a difficult position. He's not a great passer, but he played his guts out. He's one of my choices, but actually I'm going to preempt myself. I've decided my choice is the entire defense of the Vintage Crushers. They played their hearts out tonight, and until that final drive that put the game away, they were keeping the team in the game. Interesting number. In the first half, Vintage had the ball for 16 out of the 24 minutes that were played. But in the second half, San Ramon Valley had the ball for 14 of the 24 minutes, including that five-minute drive when finally the Vintage defense was just totally spent. But I'm giving it to the entire Vintage defense. Hey, Jacob Grant.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot of bright spot in today's game, but I'm going to have to go with Cutler Lowe, the corner for Vintage, who had that interception, who at the time, that interception was a big deal because it kind of stopped the momentum drive that San Ramon had going when it was a relatively close game. So I got to go with Cutler Lowe.
Well, I'm going to go for the second week in a row with Eddie Gonzalez. Eddie put the only points on the board, and after the first punt attempt that was by somebody other than Eddie that only went 10 yards, he came in there and he boomed them out the rest of the way at helping what could have been an even worse field position had it not been for his kicking.
That's very true. In fact, whereas Foster averaged 42 yards per kick, Gonzalez averaged 41.75 per kick. So he was right there with it.
Okay, well, we're kind of keeping it here to find out what Coach Dylan Leach had to say, not only about this game, but probably about the season as well, as he wanted to take some time to talk to his players following that loss. If you're just joining us, the final was 14-3 with San Ramon Valley getting a late touchdown inside a couple minutes to go to kind of put it away. But it was a great season, ending with a 10-3 record. You know, last year, the Chrysler's lost three games, but they won seven last year. This year, they won 10. So that shows improvement. And with the JV team that was undefeated, coached by Kyle Shue, and a freshman team that was undefeated, was coached by Billy Smith, and the San Ramon JV team, by the way, had 6 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie. And last year on the varsity, as I mentioned, they were undefeated in their league, but they lost in the opening round of the playoffs. So, Kent, what do you take out of tonight's game?
Well, I'm just, again, like I said earlier, I'm proud of the Crushers, just the way they've come through this whole season. And, you know, they started out 0-2, and then they ripped off, you know, with 10 straight victories, and just did a fantastic job to reach the playoffs. And they kept getting better each week. And, you know, what these young kids are going to find out, the JVs and the freshmen and the kids who were on that brought up to this varsity team after their season ended, is that the farther you go, the better you're going to have to execute, the better prepared, the better physically you're going to have to be in that weight room. A lot of key players have been hurt, you know, these last 3 or 4 weeks, and the season takes its toll. So I'm so proud of the Crushers, though. I really am. What they have done, what they stand for, they represented the league very well. They represented their school, the city, you know, and just besides on the football field, all the things they do off the football field as well. Coach Leach has these guys doing a whole lot of community support, helping out nonprofits and so forth, and helping out the kids at the elementary kids and at the schools. You can't say enough about it. Coach Leach has a winning program in his 3rd year. He's got one built, and it's just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. There's no doubt about it. And for the seniors on the team, this is their last football game as a high school senior, and they're going to cherish these moments. Hey, they're going to look back. They beat Napa. They made it to the playoffs. They went to the semifinals. They're going to look back, and they can hold their head high, look at themselves in the mirror and say, yeah, we did a good job. So proud of your Crushers. Great job.
Well, we're holding here just with the opportunity that Dylan Leach will be joining us. He'd indicated that he would come up win or lose. But if we sign off and he makes the long trek over here, that's going to be discouraging on his part, because it's quite a distance from the playing field to come up through the stands and all and get up to our broadcast vantage point. And so we do not want to disappoint Coach Leach if he wanted to have some final comments on the season. So we'll keep it right here for a little bit longer and see if he's making his way over. And we should have that information when we come back after we take time out for these messages, and we'll be right back with it with some final comments. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Pry, Jacob Grant, Dino Alessio, this is Ira C. Smith, and yes, we are going to be joined by Dylan Leach making his way over here. Now, he had a lot of people that he wanted to thank, a lot of players that he wanted to congratulate, and he is coming up these stairs now. He's still on his cell phone talking to others as well, but it's been quite a night and quite a season for not only the Vintage Crushers, but particularly their 3rd-year coach and a 1992 graduate of Vintage High, and that is Dylan Leach. He is coming in now. So, Dylan, tough situation there to come up after a loss, but you did so as far as with the victories. And here, you can have this seat right there beside Kent Fry.
Well, Coach, you know, it's never fun to lose a game, but so proud of these Crushers, the mark they've made in this league, the mark they made for the school, the mark they made for the community, taking it to the playoffs. You know, I can't say enough about the Crushers. What a defensive battle tonight, though.
Yeah, we kind of figured that's what was going to happen, right? Big, tough team, and they ran that outside zone very well. We played defense, I thought, pretty well, though, right? I mean, anytime you can hold a team to 7 throughout the 3.5 quarters, and then you could tell at the end there they just kind of wore us down at that point. So, hey, that's what we're used to doing in teams. And so I told them crossing the 50 right there at the end, like, I love that. I appreciate that. I'd rather get beat like that than have a team try to throw it all around on us. I just love that smash mouth football. So we just weren't able to sustain and keep it up, and obviously the offense sputtered, and we weren't able to move the ball.
Dylan, you know, and believe me, I'm not making excuses or anything. I do need to ask the question. Do you think that the 3-week layoff had any effect on execution timing? These guys got to play last week, and again, this is not an excuse at all because I know how your attitude is when it comes to injuries and so forth. It's next man up, be ready to go, the whole works. But having that 3-week layoff, I mean, obviously, no one predicts that, but I have a hard time thinking that doesn't help.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, right? I mean, if we would have been able to get healthy during that 3 weeks, it might have been a different story. We were hoping to, but Angel was still hurting, and Reese, and obviously Jacob. It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, your timing's a little off, and we've tried to practice live at least once or twice each week, and it's just hard to do when you're in the gym or whatever it is. But, you know, that being said, we know there was some bigger things going on in the community that we needed to attend to, obviously the fire victims, and obviously with Elena's tragic passing, you know, that's kind of where our hearts have been.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you share with us what was said after the game and what you said to the seniors and so forth?
Yeah, I just told the seniors, like, you know, first of all, anytime you don't win the last game you play in, you should feel hurt, right? You should have disappointment. You should have it should hurt real bad. There should be some pain. I would have been upset if we didn't have some crying kids and some hurt kids. So I just told them that although that should be and we should feel that, we have a whole hell of a lot to be proud of and what we accomplished. So it's just a stepping stone, right? And another thing that I expressed to the younger kids, I mean, we got kids that came up that got 24 extra practices that a lot of schools didn't get. And so these guys need to kind of take the lead of the example of the senior group and what they did and what they accomplished, not just in football, but what they've accomplished in the classroom and what they've accomplished in the weight room. And so I think that if we can continue that trend at Vintage High School, then and the systems keep evolving and getting better, I think that the future's bright over at Vintage High School.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and or as they say, concur, as Dino would say. But and you talk about the system. You had a team on the freshman level was undefeated. The JVs were undefeated, and yet the kids that came up on the varsity after their seasons were over got to see and just the extra practices you're talking about. And Ira pointed out, I think it was really kind of unique. You had the young Shumpo get on the field for in a playoff game, you know, came in at a slot back position, and just, you know, he could say, hey, I was in a playoff game.
Yeah, not only that, he was in there with his brother. So we call that Big Daddy Tonga. That's the name of that package, Big Daddy Tonga, and those guys. I always let them make up their own package names, and that's what they wanted. And it's a great experience for all those guys. I think Louis Canepa got in the game also on what we call our Indian package. And so we put that in for Napa High that week, Indian package. So it was one of those things that we want these guys to experience that. And here's the thing, and you know me, I wouldn't put those guys in if they didn't deserve that, right? And so those guys came to practice every day. Louis literally fought with our big seniors on every base, and Jack O'Dell took him, our junior first team All-League center, took him under his wing, and they battled every day. And so we're looking for Louis, who, you know, he's a 6'3", 260-pound kid anyways, as a freshman. So we're looking for him to come up next year and be a staple in what we do. And Mo never took Mosadi Shamkul, the younger one. He never took a play off on scout. He came in and ran the ball for us, and he mimicked four and did a great job for us all week. And so really looking forward to the future with them.
Absolutely. Ira, I know you have a couple questions there for Coach.
Well, I was just wondering if Mo or Mosadi is going to be anything close to what his brother has been.
I think if you talk to Yoyami, you'll kind of have a sense that he's probably going to be the best of the bunch. But that being said, talent runs out at the varsity level. Right? So you can be all everything as a freshman in JV, but if you don't put that time in with the 4-year accumulation into nutrition and into the weight room, you won't be anything your senior year. So the one thing that made Viljami who he is he absolutely loved the weight room and loved the nutrition factor, loved to eat and do all the right things. So, but I'll tell you, if Mosadi adapts that, I think he's going to be one heck of a player.
You were 6-0 in this new league this year, and you have gone through to the semifinals of the section. So that means that the other six teams in the league are going to be aiming for you.
Yeah, hey, yeah, and there it is, right? I mean, so, but I have a, I'm going to be aiming for them. So, you know, in any team that we play, we're going to aim for them. So, and that's the beauty of competition. It's the beauty of this game is, and I tell the kids all the time, do not disrespect this game. This game has given so much to so many people. It's given, it kept me, on track. It kept me in, getting good grades and it's kept my livelihood to this day. So, we don't disrespect the game no matter who we play. We prepare, to the best of our abilities and we come out and play as hard as we can. And we respected this team. We knew exactly what we were getting into and we just didn't withstand it tonight.
Is it difficult now to, pack up and put all the equipment away?
I'm going to miss these guys. You know what I mean? I'm going to miss hanging out every day. I mean, here's the thing. I teach weight training with them, so I'm going to see most of them all the time. And I have a really great rapport with not just the 9 or 8 years I was at Vintage before and then the 9 years over at – or the 8 years, sorry, over at Napa and the 3 years back. I have a great rapport with all those guys, and Coach can attest to this. I mean, there's over, you know, 1,200 kids at this point that I have a great relationship with. So anyone that comes back and supports us and wants to be a part of it, there was, you know, 18 kids on the sideline that played for me. You know, I just have that relationship with these guys, and I always will.
Well, Dylan, in closing, I just have to say, again, I'm just so proud of what you have established here at Vintage High School in 3 short years. You have established a program that is on the up and up, and it's building. It's built. The foundation is definitely there, and the stories are starting to go up, and the building is going up. Not only on the field, but what you guys are doing off the field. For me, you know, that's just a huge deal. I see you guys just going, doing the community support, and what a name you've made, again, for the town of Napa, for Vintage High School, the community, the new league, the new section. I can't say enough. I'm just so proud of the Vintage Crushers and how far they've come, and I think just outstanding. And obviously, you take the good, you take the bad, and a job well done. You know, give yourself a pat on the butt, you know, as we do in football. And great job, Coach Leach. I'm very proud of you, man.
Thank you. I'm going to try to ask my wife to do that, that patting on the butt part, just so you know. I don't know if I could reach back there anymore. You know, I appreciate that, guys. I mean, this is obviously a tough pill to swallow, right? I mean, I felt there in the second quarter when we were driving on them, I felt the tide was turning. We got the untimely penalty, and that kind of threw us back. But before I get off here, I want to make sure that Crusher Nation knows how much I appreciate them. Right? I mean, the crowd, the people that came out, the people that want to listen on the radio, the people that follow on Twitter, the people that you know, really have put a lot of time and work in. Not only that, people that donate, you know, John and Michelle Trichard, people like that that have been, you know, Jam Cellar's been instrumental in making sure that we have some of the best stuff going. People that just put in all this time, the team moms. I mean, man, these kids, I always tell them they're spoiled, right? I always make fun of them because they get breakfast on Saturdays. They get team dinners. They get snack lunches on buses. And just the amount of work that people put in, I don't think people realize it's like running a business. And the CEO, and at the same time, I have no idea what's going on halfway around the organization. There's so many people that do so many things. So I just want to thank them and let them know that how much I appreciate them. I hope my parents are having a great time in New Orleans. I hope they're partying it up right now. So and just so many people that help out. And again, I can't thank them enough. And we're going to need them for the next decade or so here.
Just to reiterate what you said about people listening in on the radio, there was an old fat line coach down in New Mexico listening and texting me the whole game long, you know, tell Coach to do this, tell Leach to do this, tell Leach to do this. and he follows you, you know, like so many other people. But, yeah, and again, Dylan, just so proud of you from a personal note and obviously from the radio broadcast team here. But, Ira, I'm going to let you finish off here.
Well, I'm just going to thank him because the cooperation we've received from Coach Dylan Leach and the pressure has just been great. So we just so you know, we appreciate it. Okay, Dylan Leach in his third year as the head coach for the Vintage Crushers is going to wrap it up. Before we do sign off, I want to wish Kent Fry a happy birthday. That's coming up in 2 weeks. Yeah, so December the 15th, and hope it's a good one.
It'll be a good one. Go Sharks.
Okay. All right, well, that pretty well wraps it up, and particularly thankful for our sports boosters. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here tonight if it was not for the folks that support us to support the sports around the Napa Valley. I'm Ira C. Smith, thanking not only Kent Fry, but Jacob Grant, Dino Alessio, and who used to be an intern, Angelo Lyons, who's now part of our staff over at KVON. He's been our engineer. So that wraps it up for the North Coast section. Let's swap tire championship series Division I for the Vintage Crusher. Final score here tonight is the San Ramon Valley Wolves 14 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 3.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.
Back 15 years, it's a moneymaker, but it-